The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Thursday, March 14th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, the New York Times reports that federal prosecutors are conducting a criminal investigation into Facebook's data deals with major electronic manufacturers. The newspaper says a grand jury in New York has subpoenaed information from at least two companies known for making smartphones and other devices, citing two unnamed people familiar with the request. It reports that both companies had data partnerships with Facebook that gave them access to the personal information of hundreds of millions of users. Facebook describes those data deals as innocuous efforts to help smartphone makers provide Facebook features to users before the social network had its own app. The Times reports that it is not clear when the inquiry began and exactly on what it is focusing on. Facebook did not respond to a request for comment. This news comes in the middle of the Facebook outage that happened yesterday. According to Facebook's status page, the outages started at 11 a.m. on Wednesday. That page, which called the problem a partial outage, states that Facebook had experienced increased error rates since that time. DownDetector.com, a site that monitors site outages, said the Facebook problem affected parts of the United States, including the East and West Coast, parts of Europe and elsewhere. Both Facebook's desktop site and app appeared to be affected.
I think you're going to see a lot more of this because the Facebook incidents have been so conga line, like one right after another. If there was a time for it to sort of pause and fall out of the public thinking, but I think a lot of people are really pissed off at Facebook now, so... They seem to be really moving ahead, and they should, because there appears to be a lot of duplicitous stuff going on.
Well, they were riding on their own strength for so long. There were billions of followers, and they just figured that this is the behemoth that can't stop it. Too big to fail,
yeah.
And now they're realizing, maybe we made some mistakes along the way.
Right. It just seems that everything, Nick, is coming sort of due one right after another.
Yeah,
it is. So the outage was on Facebook and Instagram, but everything has been restored, so you're okay now. A Delaware County man has been arrested and charged with sexually assaulting children who attended his in-home daycare in Chester County. James Anthony Batista has been charged with rape of a child, unlawful contact with a minor, aggravated indecent assault, and endangering the welfare of children. Batista ran Little Friends Daycare in Penn Township, Chester County, along with his wife. The daycare has since closed. Last June, Pennsylvania State Police received a report that Batista had sexually assaulted a child who attended the daycare in the 2700 block of Newark Road when the child was 3 years old. During the course of the investigation, three other children were identified as victims. These children would have ranged in age from 3 to 7 years old at the time of the alleged assault, which spanned from 2006 to 2009. Pennsylvania State Police say they fear that there are more victims that have yet to come forward. After the daycare closed, Batista moved to Delaware County in 2010. He was taken into custody Wednesday. He was arraigned in the Chester County Prison on $500,000 straight bail pending his preliminary hearing, which is scheduled for next week. Anyone with information on the investigation is asked to contact the Pennsylvania State Police Avondale Barracks. Kobe Bryant's high school jersey that was stolen from Lower Marion High School 2 years ago has been returned.
Yeah!
A devoted fan, 28-year-old Lu Ji, discovered he had the NBA star's signed high school replica jersey in his possession. After it was stolen from Lower Marion High School, the jersey ended up in China after Ji said that he purchased it from a memorabilia dealer in October of 2018.
In China!
Once realizing it was stolen, he contacted basketball coaches at the school and soon shipped the jersey back. Police still have not made an arrest in the theft case, but they have the jersey in their hands, and the school hopes to return the jersey to the trophy case in the coming weeks.
I was reading about this guy. It was really cool he did this. He's just a huge Kobe Bryant fan.
Yes.
And had met him before, and he got an autograph from him, and the autograph was very inspiring, and they had taken a picture together. He signed it for him. And
it meant that much to him.
It meant that much to him. And it read something. I forgot. I have it. I have the story written now. But he wrote some kind of
personal. It was too cute to be forgotten.
In so many words.
Yeah,
probably. No, but it was something that he wrote that inspired him to. Here, I've got it right here. Had inspired him to pop it in the mail and send it back, even though he had already spent a lot of money on it. Yeah, he had written, "Dream big, live epic. Mamba mentality.
Mamba mentality.
Which he said, what I did was my Mamba mentality. And he said that his only hope is that that Kobe will know that the jersey has been recovered before he makes his trip to China. Because Kobe's going to China for a basketball event. He was going to give it to him there.
That'd be cool.
But he decided to just go ahead and mail it to the school. So hopefully Kobe gets wind of this.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we'll
And we'll meet up with the guy. Because that was a really cool thing. Even though he doesn't care about Philadelphia.
Not true. Didn't you see him celebrating when the Eagles won the Super Bowl?
Eagles won.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
He really does love it.
Dropping the F-bomb with a baby in his arms, you know.
He's just like us.
He's just like us. All right, in sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
So the Sixers and the Flyers both had off yesterday, but the Flyers returned to the ice tonight with the game at home against the Washington Capitals. The Flyers have won two straight, four of their last five. Carter Hart will return from the injury that kept the rookie goalie out of the net for the last 3 weeks. The puck drops in South Philly at 7 o'clock. The Sixers are off until tomorrow night when they'll host the Sacramento Kings. The Sixers have won two straight and are in third place in the Eastern Conference, five games behind the Toronto Raptors and two games ahead of the Boston Celtics. And the Eagles made it official yesterday, announcing that they have acquired wide receiver DeSean Jackson and a 2020 seventh round draft pick from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in exchange for a 2019 sixth round draft choice. It also looks like Nelson Aguilar is staying in Philly. Since the new league year is now underway, Aguilar's entire salary for the 2019 season went from non-guaranteed to guaranteed money, which means the Eagles are responsible for his entire salary of more than $9.3 million. The Eagles trio of receivers, Jackson Aguilar and Alshon Jeffrey, is now considered one of the best in the NFL. And that's what I have for you this morning.
Thanks a bunch, Kath. We are happy to have you once again. It's a Thursday morning Press and Steve show. It's travel day today. We hop on a plane and we head to Clearwater for spring training. We'll be broadcasting live from there tomorrow morning, which is very exciting. We'll be at Spectrum Field in the left field right by Frenchie's Tiki Hut.
And, yeah. I got to say, as I've said many times before, the first time around, I was like, what's it going to be like? I was not thrilled. I loved it, so I'm really looking forward to this.
Oddly enough, stepping outside today, this morning, it is warmer out today than it was when we were broadcasting from there.
Oh my God.
Last year.
By about 20 degrees. By about 20 degrees. It was so cold that the condensation and all that stuff was running off the tent onto the equipment. We're there like idiots in the dark.
I brought my hand warmers. I packed them up.
Me too.
I'm optimistic.
I'm as well, Preston.
I'm gonna
wear shorts.
I'm going to throw caution to the wind. I'm going to wear shorts. Yeah.
Listen,
tomorrow morning?
Yeah.
I just might, Kathy.
What is it? Current temperature in Clearwater, please.
67.
67
That's
degrees.
Shorts worthy.
That's shorts weather, no problem. So we'll be there tomorrow, but we have today to take care of. And by the way, yes, our trip is sponsored by Xfinity. We're really excited to have those guys on board, so thank you very, very much. We have a lot of things taking place today. We will have comedian Mo Mandel, who's going to be performing at Punchline through the weekend, so he's stopping by. We will also have Christina Hendricks on the program. Have we ever talked to her?
No. I don't think so. She's a multiple Emmy nominee for Mad Men.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got a show that I've actually recorded all of them. I haven't had a chance to watch yet, but it looks pretty funny. And it's a drama, a comedy.
Yeah, Good Girls is what it's called. Yeah. So we'll talk to her later this morning. We also have a hottie cam today. We are right on the edge of St. Patty's Day. So the ladies of the Tilted Kilt are going to be stopping in. The Sicklerville, New Jersey location. So we'll have them in. We'll let you know when they are fired up on the hottie cam. And we have a concert announcement today. That's a pretty cool one, too. So
it is.
We'll get you those details and more. A lot to have for you. So hopefully you'll stick around. We're going to take a quick break. Come back in a moment. The Entertainment Report is up next, as well as a stupid question to begin giving stuff away. So be with us today. We're going to have a good time. All right.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Diamond jewelry doesn't have to be expensive. Have fun buying jewelry for someone you love and don't hate the price you pay. Feel the difference online at IHStevenSinger.com with free shipping or at the other corner of 8th and Walnut. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Taking time for yourself isn't selfish, it's self-care. Schedule a massage or facial at your local Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa with a relaxing massage or refreshing facial for just $59.95 for first-time guests. Visit one of their 50 area locations or handandstone.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, so here's what's happening today. We have your opportunity to win free Dunkin' iced coffee for a year.
Whoa! Ooh.
Yes, that is absolutely correct. And we're going to do it this morning, courtesy of a little thing we call the emoji code.
Whoa.
So Casey has come up with a series of emojis, which we have posted on various social media accounts of the Preston and Steve Show. And all you have to do is go take a look at the code. And if you can decipher what the code is, write down that phrase, because later on this morning, we are going to have you call in. And if you are the designated caller that gives us the correct interpretation of that code, you win free Dunkin' iced coffee for an entire year.
That's pretty freaking good.
All right. And keep in mind, if for some reason you don't win, you're in luck, because Philly Dunkin' has $2 medium iced coffees all day long. You can make all of March as fun as St. Patrick's Day with Irish cream coffee and mint brownie donuts. America runs on Dunkin'. So once again, go to Instagram, go to Twitter, go to Facebook, any of our social media accounts. Check out the code. Decipher it. Write it down. Later on, we'll ask you to call in to win.
There are people I see all the time, and whenever I see them, they're holding that Dunkin's cup with the iced coffee.
Yeah.
It's addictive.
Yep, so you can get it for a year, so good luck to you. All right, so stupid question. Today we're going to give away a pair of tickets for the Atlantic City Beer and Music Festival. Today is Pi Day.
Yes, it is.
It's 314-314. What exactly does Pi mean? And by that, I don't mean the numeral. What does pi indicate mathematically? Tell me what that is, all right? 215-263-WMMR, and we'll see if you know the answer. So what does pi mean? Pi meaning not like
what
apple
pie. What
does
pi mean to me?
What is pi? Or the little pi symbol, you know?
Right, so, right.
Anyhow, call now. Let's see if you know the answer. I'm going to go through some birthdays today. Today is Thursday, March 14th. My regular birthday list wasn't around, so I had to go dig some stuff up. And normally I have all these credits of the names that I read to you for birthdays. And the source that I found didn't have any of the credits. So you guys tell me. Simone Biles or Biles.
So she
was with the American gymnastics.
Yes, right? Absolutely. Incredible athlete.
Was she part of the Fierce Five?
I don't know about the Fierce Five. Remember. She was on Dancing with the Stars, was she not?
She was in the Final Five.
Final Five.
Yeah, okay. She was in Rio.
So
she was in the Magnificent Seven. I know that.
Wow, she's she can throw an axe,
absolutely,
Nail it right between the eyes of people. Everybody in the Magnificent Seven has their own specialty,
the special killing method.
So she's 22 today. Ansel Elgort, the actor, is 25, and he was in Ready Player One. He plays Wade, right?
Oh, yep, that's Wade. Him. Okay,
he's Wade also Watts. In Baby Driver.
The Baby Driver is what I.
He's in Baby Wheel, which was the sequel.
Baby Wheel.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. I forgot about the Baby Wheel.
I didn't realize that was Ansel Elgort in Ready Player One.
I believe so.
I don't think that's
can
him.
Can you scroll down? I might be wrong on that. I might be wrong.
I thought it was.
No, Baby that's not Driver. Wade.
I'm way off. I'm sorry.
No, Samuel L. Jackson played Wade Watts.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, that's an incredible performance.
No, Nick's going to pull up.
Ty Sheridan? Is that guy's name?
I don't know.
No,
scroll down a little more. And I'll tell you. Ty Sheridan.
I Sheridan.
Okay.
They kind of look alike.
They do?
Yeah. They have similar lips, which is
sexy, weird, suckable lips.
A weird-shaped mouth. So anyhow, Ansel Elgort is 25.
I get confused between Ansel Elgort and Arden Ehrenreich.
Oh.
Alden Ehrenreich, who played Han Solo.
Yes.
And so because they have very similar names.
And then name-wise, I also mix him up with who played Eggy in...
Taron Egerton?
Eggy. Yes. Yeah, Taron Egerton. For some reason, because Elgort, Egerton, I get those mixed up.
Yeah. I get him mixed up with Ansel Adams, the legendary black and white photographer.
Yes.
Yes. Did a lot at Yosemite.
Absolutely.
What a man.
Yeah.
Ansel Elgort's 25. Brian Quinn, also known as Q from Impractical Jokers, is 43 years old today. Q's great. And then another Q birthday, it's Quincy Jones' birthday.
Quincy Jones, the legendary Quincy Jones.
Yep.
Father of Rashida Jones.
One of the greats in the music industry, correct? Yeah, he's 85 years old today.
Well, so he was the producer on Thriller, yes? And
was he? Yeah.
I know he did.
We the World was his as well.
Yeah, I remember the Thriller, Steve, because when Michael won all of those Grammys, Quincy was up there literally helping him hold all of the Grammys.
What were the
Quincy
big names?
Needs some help.
It was like Jimmy Jam, right? He was he was another big name back
then. Produced all the Janet Jackson stuff. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's also Michael Caine's birthday today, the great actor.
The great Michael Caine.
Yeah. And still, you know, he still is just going at it. I'm looking at the list of credits I have here now, like Interstellar. I forgot, oh, yeah, that's right. He was in that.
Yeah, he's in. So he's a guy who's always been able to do really profound, serious, great work and then do Jaws 4, The Revenge. So, like, it's, you know, and it never hurts his career.
Yep, he's 86 today.
He also teaches acting.
Chris Klein, American Pie.
Scooby-dooby-doo-bop.
Thank you.
Scooby-dooby-dooby-dooby-dooby-bop. Yeah,
at least once a year we get to
this. Thank you.
So good.
You know, his the remake of Rollerball was on and he was in that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Was that any good?
No.
Okay.
That's the one you have a hard time watching, right, Case? That part?
Well, no.
From American Pie?
I don't know. it's just... It's so bad, but but I think everybody knows it's bad. Like the directors and you know what I mean? It would be worse if it was bad and everybody thought it was good. And then I'd say, well, am I the only one that?
I think this is part of a bigger discussion.
Do you want to break into smaller groups?
If we can, Preston, I know if we can go off the rails and discuss what is the dynamic that causes the uncomfortability.
How about I just tell you that Chris Klein is 40?
Okay, we'll do
it. Can I just note that I wasn't the one who prolonged the conversation?
You did
Kathy
not.
Asked me a question.
You could have just
honestly
said yes or no.
No, Kathy. You asked me a question that needed explaining.
Okay.
Back to you, Preston.
Taylor Hanson of Hanson, the band, is 36 today.
Does he embarrass you, Kathy?
No. See how easy that was?
You know, it's at the end
she
of
just
that.
Just stopped it right there.
It almost sounds like Mbop when he's singing this. Scooby-Dooby, yeah. Mbop.
Your feet start tapping and you can't seem to find how you got there. Do you believe in magic?
Scooby-Dooby-Dooby-Bop.
Mbop, mbop. Taylor Hanson's 36. Wolfgang Peterson, the director.
Great director.
Yeah, The NeverEnding Story, which we had a nice tribute to at the Cardboard Classic this year.
And we were just talking about Enemy Mine.
Enemy Mine, yeah. I love that movie. In the Line of Fire is still a movie that I will
watch movie.
When it comes on. He did Outbreak, The Perfect Storm, Air Force One, and more. 78 today. And that's the last birthday I have on my list for you. Let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. So what exactly is pi? 215-263-WMMR. I need a description of what pi is. And I will go to Dan. Hey, Dan, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Dan. Can you tell me what pi is?
Pi is the ratio of the circle's circumference to the diameter.
That's exactly
there you go.
It.
That's it.
One moment, Dan. The ratio of a circle's circumference to its diameter, and today is Pi Day, by the way. So we have a pair of tickets for Dan for the Atlantic City Beer and Music Festival. They're hosting the first ever Atlantic City Beer Week, March 25th through the 31st. One grand prize winner will also receive an overnight stay for Friday, March 29th at Bally's. Visit acbeerfest.com for more information. So we're going to start with that whole school scandal that we chatted about yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely.
Celebrities are having wildly different reactions to the news of Felicity Huffman and Lori Loughlin and their involvement in the high-profile college admissions bribery case. David Mamet, who worked with Huffman when she starred in his Speed the Plow play in the late 1980s, defended the star. He called her actions to be a parental zeal for her children's future, dubbing the college admissions process an unfortunate and corrupt joke. He said unqualified students may be accepted for many reasons, among them as legacies and on account for large donations made by their parents. I do not see the difference between getting a kid into school by bribing the building committee and by bribing someone else. But apparently, the second is against the law. So be it.
Mamet wrote Glengarry Glen Ross.
Okay. She was accused of paying $15,000 to a fake charitable organization in exchange for helping her eldest daughter cheat on her college entrance exam, according to evidence, including phone recordings with a cooperating witness. Her husband, William H. Macy, has not been charged.
It's his birthday today.
It was yesterday.
Oh, yesterday. Damn it.
She was released on bail, $250,000, by the way. Now, Kyle...
And hers was lower than Lori Loughlin's. Yeah.
I think, well, Lori, they spent more money. They
half a million.
Half a million dollars.
Yeah. Okay,
and
so...
the other guy spent $15,000. And so,
she has more credits under her name as well, so I think she gets special consideration.
Kyle Richards, who was on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, also sympathized with her friend Loughlin on What Happens Live with Andy Cohen. After the show on Tuesday, she said... they're really great people, and you kind of just go, I'm really confused by all this. Everyone's talking about it, but until today, we had never heard this existed. Maybe I'm naive. I didn't even know that existed. Not everyone was sympathetic. James Vanderbeek, Bethany Frankel, and Lena Dunham were among celebs who reacted with both shock and horror at the allegations on Twitter. I don't have their tweets.
Oh, man, I want to hear what Lena Dunham had to say.
I have more on her coming up later. Meanwhile, Loughlin surrendered to authorities in L.A. Wednesday after touching down from Canada, where she was working. She and her husband, Mossimo Giannulli, allegedly paid $500,000 to have their daughters, Isabella and Olivia, be falsely deemed recruits for the University of Southern California's crew team.
So, Preston, Olivia, excuse me, is a social influencer for Sephora. And now, by the way, she didn't want to go to school at all. It was the parents who pushed her into it. So she agreed to go do it. They set her up. And now the thing she was working that was making her a lot of money, like these endorsements from Sephora, might go away.
Oh, man. Thanks, Mom. Because she has like 100-some-odd thousand
she's
followers.
She's making loot on Instagram. That's a beautiful girl. And so she's sort of a trendsetter. But the parents insisted, so she acquiesced.
Yeah.
And now it might blow up everything.
She was making her way on her own.
Using her genetics.
They shouldn't.
Oh, that's a shame.
Well, she's using her genetics, but I mean, she's using what her abilities are.
What God gave her.
But she, this is her parents. Her parents' great idea of going to school is ruining her career.
Yes! She's going to catch the fallout.
She's the one that didn't want to go to school, too.
She's the one who's she did not want to go. Uh-huh. And then they insisted. It was a big thing because apparently neither of them went to college.
All right, so she's not going to go, the daughter I'm talking about, she's not going to go to like jail or anything like that.
No, she's no.
Because
no.
this is all the parents.
The parents,
are in trouble.
The parents brokered the whole thing.
So there might be a little bit of fallout on her, but she'll recover. She'll be all right.
Look at how social media is right now. Look at how, now Sephora hasn't backed out of anything right now, but we're in this hyper maelstrom of people reacting to this.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is what it is.
You know what? So when this news broke, I think a lot of people out there are going, well, tell me something I don't know, Dip.
Dip S.
It's par
dip
for
breed.
The... anyway, Steve there, my buddy.
Oh, roast beef. Do you have anything to say?
I do.
Give him a second. It'll come to him.
That's the worst I've ever heard you unravel, ever, right there.
That was great.
Preston, in 20 years, that's the worst?
In recent memory.
In the recent memory.
Okay, so.
I like the addition of dipweed to the vocabulary.
Well, dipweed. I was going to say, anyway.
Yeah. I saw the W form on your mouth. Yeah. Go ahead.
It does not matter. Tell me something I don't know. I think we all knew that this sort of stuff was happening.
We said it yesterday, of course, and it's the David Mamet clip. It goes on all sorts of levels. There's an incredible amount of unfairness going on.
There's just so many details. It's very intricate. I don't think people thought that they were pretending to be on the rowing team and all of that stuff.
And also, Kathy, here's the deal. You have two people that a lot of people know through pop culture. There's an incredibly well-to-do, super wealthy head of a major law firm. We don't know this guy, so it doesn't matter. If that story had been reported without the two celebrities, you'd be okay, and you'd move along.
Yeah.
The two celebrities are the nexus of this whole thing, and that's why we're so invested in it.
And they used their faces, as the headline.
And
on
that's
every
it.
Story.
You're not going to use the guy who's made his money in the stock market or whatever the
teacher
hell.
In Houston.
But what I didn't know until yesterday, and thank God Twitter didn't crash like Facebook and Instagram did, because I learned this on Twitter, is that people have gone to jail for, and this is at a high school level, people have gone to jail for pretending like they live in another city so that their kids can go to a better high school.
They consider it fraud.
Exactly. So if these people are doing like 3 to 5 years in jail, Is Felicity Huffman or Lori Loughlin?
I don't know. We're at the absolute beginning stages of this. Are they facing that potential? Yes. I don't know how it gets reconciled.
I have to back up for a second, though, Case, because I didn't have the tell me something I don't know. Yes, do people making contributions get special consideration? Yes, I knew that went on.
Yep.
A la Thornton Mellon, like we mentioned yesterday.
We know that incredible story.
But I didn't know that these avenues, these little slalom jobs were being done to get favor with the university.
And that, Preston, the mechanism was in place to do things like photoshopping faces onto other athletes, to have proctors, a one-on-one, a student taking a test, and the proctor in the same room helping that student pass the test. All these little, there was a whole structure of how you would pay and have your kid ushered into whatever school you want. But a lot of these schools aren't like mega, mega schools.
Right.
They're just really good schools.
Yeah. And also, it's not, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it's not that much money. $15,000 is not that much money. So maybe if they don't have a ton of money to bribe or pay to the school or whatever, this is where the little side roads come in.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I'm not 100% sure. All right, real quick, do we have a clip from Lori Loughlin, Steve, you sent over?
These are two clips from a couple of years ago. She was talking to, or maybe 2 years ago, she was talking to Page Six about raising kids. And, of course, all this stuff comes up because now it tends to be a little laughable.
Yep, here we go.
I never push my kids to, I always say do the best you can. Yeah. I was never that kid. My husband, too, their dad. We were never like at school, you got to get straight A's. We were never those parents. We were always like, you know what? Give it your all. Do the best you can. Because in life, if you give it your all and you do the best you can, that's it. That's all you can do.
That's all you can do and pay to get what you need.
The image I have in my mind is her saying to the daughter, Kathy, give it your all. Turning to the husband, she's so stupid. We've got to do something. We've got to do something.
Here's the second clip.
I think we put so much pressure and stress on them. A lot of it is unnecessary. And I think it's important to just have downtime. Free time. I never overscheduled my kids. I always gave them plenty of time to just sit in their playroom and, you know, use their imaginations.
Mm. By the way, when she's talking about the playroom, she's talking about 3 years ago. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. My gosh.
I have a lot to get to.
Let's get to it.
And we took too much time on that. Let me move on. Empire returned to the air on Fox last night for its season 5 mid-season premiere. The first time shows aired since a new one since Jussie Smollett told police in Chicago that he was assaulted on January 29th. So here's an update on the episode. Just to let you know, it ended with Jeff Kingsley telling Cookie, Andre, Hakeem, and Jamal that he is Lucius's son.
What?
I'm not done. And a flash forward showing Andre flatlining in front of his parents, giving fans more fuel for their theories about who is in the casket. Smollett is set to appear in court today. And many are watching to see how the popular show performs in ratings, especially as his character has been written out of the season's final episode.
I caught about 10 minutes of it, Preston, about three quarters of the way through, and I saw Cookie in a brutal fist fight with Bigfoot. So they've definitely taken the show in a different direction.
They need to. They need to have something to distract
spice it up a little bit.
Kylie Jenner shared her daughter Stormy's unusual name's origin on Instagram Live while she was having her makeup done for a night on the town with sisters Kim, Courtney, and Chloe. Her makeup artist asked her to spill the beans. Kylie said, "I felt it the whole time. Yeah, I feel like she chose her own name. Pretty much I looked up names and I saw Storm, and I really liked that. But I wanted her to have an IE at the end of her name, like me, Kylie, and Stormy.
Like me!
So it was that at first, and I would just call her when I was pregnant. I used to call her Stormy when I would talk to her in my belly. It just always felt right. I had one more name that I liked. I had two names that I honestly liked better than Stormy. But when I had her, I felt that she chose her own name. And I just couldn't imagine any other name other than Stormy. So, yeah.
So she very easily could have been Curtains TV.
Yeah.
Whatever was in the room.
Yep, exactly. Now, meanwhile, Kylie also divulged that she and Kendall may be planning a makeup collaboration.
Oh, my God. This is incredible news.
So Kylie says out loud on the show, can we also get a collab with Kendall? She was reading one of her fans' questions out loud. And then the 21-year-old billionaire winked at the camera, put one finger up to her mouth, and said, shh.
Oh, my God. They all are doing it.
Mm-hmm. So when she winked, Preston, did two or three people have to come in and lift the eyelid back up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because of all the makeup.
She also explained that they haven't done one yet because of her supermodel sister's contract with Estee Lauder. She said, you know, Kendall was in a contract for a really long time, so I couldn't do a collab with her. That's the only reason why I didn't collab with her.
Well, honestly, there are reasons why people collab and reasons why people don't collab.
Yeah. I mean, you know, some people are anti-collab.
Yeah. And then there's pro-collab.
Yeah. The pair have worked together previously on clothing lines for PacSun and Topshop.
The worst is the indecisive collabber.
Yeah, please, make up your mind, for crying out loud. And she goes on to talk about getting her body back after welcoming Stormy, but we don't need to go down that
path. No.
As expected, Luke Perry's official cause of death was an ischemic cerebrovascular accident or a stroke, according to his death certificate. The certificate also revealed that Perry's body was transported to Dixon, Tennessee, where he was buried on Monday. He had owned property there and had a farm.
So what I was reading, Preston, is that this was a particularly powerful stroke, which blows my mind because here's a guy who, you know, we don't know a lot of these things, but guy seemed to be in pretty good shape. Mm-hmm. But it was just a profound stroke on this guy, 52 years old.
Profound stroke that I guess didn't get...
assessed?
They assessed, or you know, they just didn't get to it quick enough.
I think that it was just so big that he was a goner. I mean, because they, I thought that they got attention to him.
It seemed to be fairly quick.
Yeah. He was still talking to them when they arrived, so he just went downhill from that point until you know when he was in the hospital.
Well, after having won Best Actor on TV and in film, Rami Malek is taking his talents to the audio medium. There's a trailer for a podcast called Blackout, created by Scott Conroy. The podcast drama focuses on the aftermath of the power grid going down across the nation and a small-town New Hampshire DJ voiced by Malek who fights to protect his family and community amid this chaos.
This sounds cool.
It does.
And I think it's cool that he would sign on to do something like this.
Well, the guy that's doing this also did one called Blackout. And Nick Murphy turned me on to it.
This one's called
Blackout.
Oh, I'm sorry. Not Blackout. What was the other one called? Damn it. I got to look further into it. There was
Collabs?
No. I forgot the name of it. Nick, is Murphy here? He could tell me.
Yeah.
I forgot what it was
called.
And
he also, I think one of the guys involved is also one of the guys involved with Mr. Robot.
Yes, correct.
Okay. So this is just radio theater.
Radio theater.
Yep.
Okay.
That's it. And so, let's see. This is what Malek says about it. It's a hyper-realistic story of what would unfold should the grid go down. How we would totally be unprepared to deal with the repercussions. He said the themes that we touch on because of that, we'll explore and delve into how we respond as the most bare human beings that we are. Homecoming.
Homecoming.
That's what I was trying to think of. I'm sorry. Yeah. Kathleen, there's a bunch of stars in it. It's really good radio theater.
Well, anyhow, this stuff is done well. It's been very engrossing.
He said themes of community versus tribalism will come up, and then you will think about this loss of our sense of community and the longing that comes with increasing tech taking over our lives and just reverting back to a world that now seems so distant, a world of truly listening to one another. This sounds really cool. I think I might dig this. He adds that his character, Simon, represents the everyman, someone that we call, that we can all relate to, and I think and hope that we all have a semblance of him in ourselves, if there were a crisis like this that took place in our society, that you would have a guy like Simon trying to help in whatever way he could. The impetus for his involvement in Blackout stems from his desire to develop his own projects and ideas, as well as the inspiration that he took from his Mr. Robot creator, Sam Esmail, who adapted the popular podcast Homecoming into a Golden Globe nominated drama series for Amazon Prime Video. So that's the dude. I don't know if they're working together on this, but he drew inspiration from
it. It's very cool.
Hey, this is disturbing, and I had no idea. In a new book, Rosie O'Donnell is claiming that her father sexually abused her as a child.
I had always known, and she had always said, that he was abusive. I don't know if she ever said there was sexual abuse.
I don't think she did. The book, titled Ladies Who Punch, The Explosive Inside Story of The View, tells her side of the story about The View, but also gets into great detail about her personal life. She discusses the allegations with Variety's Raman Sedita, saying it started very young, and then when my mother died, it sort of ended in a weird way because then he was with these five children to take care of. On the whole, it's not something I like to talk about. Of course, it changes everyone. Any child who is put in that position, especially by someone in the family, you feel completely powerless and stuck because the person you would tell is the person doing it. Her father, Edward, died at 81 from cancer in 2015. Her mother died of breast cancer when she was only 10 years old back in 1973.
Yeah.
She's alluded to issues with her father in the past, but she never got into the details. She said he had his own issues and demons. You get to be 50 years old, you can still be angry at what your father... You can't still be angry at what your father did in 1970. I have forgiven him, she said. So that comes out. The book comes out on April 2nd. Let's see. Game of Thrones fan theories are on overdrive as everyone awaits the HBO hits the HBO hit final season.
How excited are you?
I'm stoked.
Yeah,
I'm getting close to wrapping up the entire series, and then I'm ready to go for the final season, and then I'll be on board for whatever they come up with afterwards too.
And,
man.
And you were reporting the runtime on these final episodes is going to be fairly movie length each one of them,
over an hour.
Yeah,
for
yeah.
sure each episode, and maybe more like an hour and a half. Speaking to Harper's Bazaar, Emilia Clarke green-lighted the speculation about her red wardrobe. Clarke said, there's a real through line for this particular season. There's a real arc, and I feel like fans, the hardcore fans, will clock what's happening within the reflection of the clothing. There's definitely a story to tell there. So, well, I don't know what that means.
I heard one thing, and I don't know. I don't, you know, I still, there's so much I have to watch, and I'll just let it finish up and do it that way and binge it that way. But apparently Jon Snow has to, they're keeping a great white shark in a pen, a water pen, and he has to water ski over it.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it sounds incredible.
Does he have to jump it?
A dragon is going to pull the water skis.
Oh, okay, nice.
Yeah.
Now, I'm wondering if the red clothing means an alliance with the Lannister family or...
What were they wearing for the red wedding, right?
It has nothing to do with that, but they were all wearing nothing red. Maybe it has something to do with the Red Woman, Melisandre, and the God of Fire. I don't really know.
Lady in Red. Are we talking a special guest star?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Wait, who sang Lady in
Lady
Red? Christopher.
Yeah.
A special guest starring appearance from Chris DeBerg.
How amazing.
One last story. Hugh Jackman will return to Broadway in a 2020 revival of Meredith Willson's 1957 classic musical, The Music Man.
Oh, he's perfect for that.
Producer Scott Rudin confirmed this yesterday. Jerry Zaks is slated to direct with choreography from Warren Carl. The revival will bow September 9th of next year at a Schubert Theater that will be announced at a later date.
They're putting a modern spin on it, though, Preston. He doesn't have to convince the town to purchase all these musical instruments with his charisma. He has adamantium blades that come out of his hands, and he threatens to kill them all if they
don't.
And
so they immediately...
It puts an edge on it.
They form a band.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get to the clips. The Good Fight follows Diane Lockhart as she begins a new law firm after her life savings are lost. And in this clip, Christine Baranski addresses how the writers balance both sides of the political spectrum in a world that she describes is off its axis. Here we go.
They argue that they're not writing a political show. That was never their intention to be polemical or to lecture the audience. They're writing about characters with strong views because they're intelligent people working in a law firm and they're living their lives.
Shut up, dummy.
Good Fight Season 3 premieres tonight on CBS. Here's the next clip. Station 19, latest show to enter Shondaland.
Ooh.
Follows the men and women of a Seattle firehouse. In this clip, Jaina Lee Ortiz talks about the deeper meaning of the show.
On Station 19, it's not only just about what we do on the job, but what happens after we clock out? Like, how do we deal with family, with love? You know, how do we go on a first date after witnessing someone die? It's given us such a bigger appreciation and respect for the first responders.
Yeah, yeah, big whoop, no one cares.
I think, Preston, there actually should be a Shondaland with amusement rides like Grey's Anatomy, Roller Coaster, The Scandal Flume.
That's a good idea.
Right?
Yeah. I don't know what Shondaland means.
Shonda Rhimes.
Shonda Rhimes, the writer.
Oh, she wrote these?
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Station 19 airs tonight at ABC. And that is what I have for you.
Incredible. You took us through highs and lows, and you made us, I think, better people.
Our entertainment report. I got a text that said the emoji code is not on our Facebook page. Did somebody see that?
I will check again. Right. It is on Instagram and Twitter, which are both functional.
Okay. Yep. So we have an emoji code and it's chance food and free Dunkin' iced coffee for an entire year. So it's an emoji code, and all you have to do is locate the code. Casey came up with it this morning.
I suck at these things.
And decipher it and write that down, because later on we'll ask you to call in and tell us what the code is. And if you get it right, then you get Dunkin' iced coffee for an entire year. It's a pretty sweet deal.
That is.
So we'll double check. I'll make sure we get that up on Facebook if it isn't already. But you can check our Twitter account and our Instagram account, and you can see the emoji code. With that, we'll take a quick break. Come back in a second. I'll tell you about the guests and so forth on the show in a few minutes. Stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Muse. Tours.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
I'm 93.3 WNMR.
I'm a fan of the Tilted Kilt, and we have the ladies of the Tilted Kilt, Sicklerville, New Jersey, in our studio this morning on our hottie cam. As we speak, we have Samantha, who is, if you tune into our hottie cam right now, is the blonde on the left, and then we have Kendall, who is on the right. And they are here to represent Tilted Kilt and their St. Patrick's A Kilt celebration. Aww. And according to my copy points here, it's a three-day hooly.
It's a three-day hooly?
Yes. No way. This Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
2 days of hooly wasn't enough?
They had to have
Nick,
three.
I had to be admitted to a hospital after one day of hooly.
I remember that.
Yeah. Some people can handle three, Steve, and it's at the Tilted Kilt in Sicklerville Saturday and Sunday. You can catch Kilted Rogues, Bagpipers, and Academy Irish Dancers, plus live music from Ready, Set, Drink, and Project Analog as well. God, I love that name, Ready, Set, Drink. What a great name for a band.
Well, if you're going to think about it, any place that's sort of suitable for the observation of the holiday, that's I don't think you get more true to that.
And not only that, on Saturday, Cadillac Brent Porsche is going to be broadcasting live.
Brento Porsche.
Saturday from 3 to 7 at the Tilted Kilt in Sicklerville. So stop by and see Brent. Brent knows how to party, man. That's, you will have a good time.
Day 2 of Hooly?
It's the second Hooly day. yeah, tomorrow is day 1 of Hooly, and then Saturday would be
the
second
day. Or as they call it, Hooly Redux.
Okay. So the ladies are in our studio. They brought some festive outfits. And if you've never seen the Tilted Kilt uniform.
Yeah.
You need to tune in.
Actually, when we first started in radio, it was very similar to what we wore.
Yep. But they've taken it over. We let them have that. Can I do a shout out real quick?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Got an email. It says, hey, can I get a shout out from my friend Kelly on her 40th birthday? I met Kelly 15 years ago when we became colleagues at the same company, realized our mutual love for Preston and Steve, and we were both busy signing online petitions to save Y100 back in the day.
That's awesome.
And became fast friends, but there is nothing she loves more than her Philadelphia Phillies. She is the biggest and truest Phillies fan that I know, and this upcoming weekend to celebrate her 40th birthday party. A big group of us are traveling down to Clearwater for some much-needed relaxation and, of course, to see the Phil's spring training game. They're going to the Saturday game.
Okay.
So she said, unfortunately, we'll miss you guys, but we'll certainly be listening. Kelly constantly goes out of her way to make sure that her friends and family feel loved, supported, and special at all times, and I'd love to have a chance to send out a celebratory shout-out for her big day. Thank you so much. This is from Amy Howe, and Amy is the manager and catering sales and business development at DeBruno Brothers, who we love as well, catering events. So a shout-out, please. And I would have read that tomorrow when we were at Clearwater, but I may have misplaced it while traveling, and I wanted to get to it now. So
besides, she's the head cheese.
So we are headed to Clearwater tomorrow. Well, actually, we're headed there today. We're broadcasting tomorrow. Yeah. So we will be in Florida later on this afternoon and excited to get to the ballpark and all the things come along.
Our bolt bus is leaving at 3, right?
Yeah, it is. And then don't forget, we have an emoji code today. It's your chance to win iced coffee for a year. And that is from our friends at Dunkin'. So we have put the emoji code up on our social media, on Twitter, on Instagram. Marissa now has it on Facebook, on our website, on PrestonandSteve.com. Decipher it, write it down. Later on, we'll ask you to call, designate a caller that has the correct answer. It's going to get free Dunkin' iced coffee for a year. So that is happening all along. And we couldn't have done that yesterday because Facebook and Instagram went kaput, went black. It blacked out for a little while.
It was the longest terminate, or at least
about half the
breakdown
day
in service in Facebook's history.
Yeah, yeah. And Instagram as well. So,
yeah, because they're owned by the same company.
Same company, yeah.
I find it annoying at first, confusing, and then refreshing. I go through these stages, and I'm like, oh, all right, it's down. There's nothing I can do about it.
It's like the stages of grief.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then acceptance.
Yeah. And then acceptance, yeah. And then so I came into work today, and Instagram and Facebook were back up and running. I'm not a Facebook person, but I do love Instagram. I get addicted to it. I have to take it off my phone because I get addicted to it. But it was nice to take a break from it for a
You know what? It allowed me to spend more time with Grindr, and I've been ignoring
your
that.
First love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't even know. I forgot somebody. I saw it online or something that it was down. I'm like, oh. Okay.
Twitter was up, so I mean, Twitter. I will, you know, I tend to check more. I'm never on Facebook, Instagram. If I want to see people's feet and food, yes, that's totally cool.
But as far as gadget and technology addiction, I shared this with Nick the other day. So I was sitting down to play a game on PlayStation. So I've reintroduced gaming back into my life. I now have a little bit of extra time and I've re-fallen in love with that, and I'm really happy about
you
it.
You finally realize the important things in life.
So I caught, you ever find yourself doing something and you just like literally say to yourself, either out loud or in your head, you go, what am I doing? What am I doing right now?
Yeah.
Why am I doing this? So I put in a game. I'm waiting for the game to load up for me to play. So what do I do while I'm waiting for it to load up? I pull out my phone and I start playing a different game on my phone while I'm waiting for this game to load. And I realized the absurdity of what I was doing. I was not even patient enough to wait the maybe 2.5 minutes tops for this game to load in, that I needed to pacify myself by picking up that device to distract me from having to, I don't know, have my own thoughts for a moment or something like
read
that.
Read from the Bible.
You know, and I was just, it was kind of pathetic.
Well,
now listen, I didn't get really crazy about it or anything like that, but I found it funny and kind of sad at the same time.
What you know? I think is an opportunity lost. Internet porn is always up and waiting for you. I had a similar thing. This is two or three years ago. You know, I was loading in the full game. You know, when you load in a full game into a system, it takes a little bit longer.
Yeah, an hour or more. Yeah.
So I'm there. What do? Well, I was on PS4. I jumped over to the Xbox.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, whoa. You know, tap my brakes a little bit. Yeah. And I, you know, and you just, but you do realize you get immersed in it. That level of addiction can be crazy. Yeah. I used to play a lot more. Now it's I'll jump in for little breaks now and then, 15, 20 minutes at the most, 20, maybe at a half hour would be the longest one, I guess. Yeah. And then that's it. And periodically.
This kind of gets under my skin a little bit, and I don't get really angry about it. But, you know, sometimes Rochelle and I will be like, you want to watch a movie tonight?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's watch a movie. So we'll sit down and and start to watch the film. And part of the way through it, I'll look over and I'll see her scrolling through her phone, and I'm like, "Are you?
What the hell?
Are you even watching?
I'm
this
sorry.
Right
isn't
now?
That how you're supposed to watch TV or watch this, a movie?
That's all you do, right?
Yeah, you're supposed to watch a movie with the phone in your hands.
You're attached to your phone. You're surgically attached.
Sure.
Yeah.
But is it because she's not interested in the movie?
I don't know.
But probably. How would you know if you were or weren't?
Oh, if I get part of the way into the movie or the TV show and I'm over it, and somebody else is in the room and still watching it, I'll leave the TV. I'm not going to turn it off on somebody else.
No, I wouldn't do that if we kind of made a little date, you know.
Let's watch the movie together.
Why are you getting so offended? It has nothing to do with you.
What's that?
Why? I mean. Your take.
Explaining why he's not offended. It just said sort of we're going to sit down and watch the movie together and sort of hey and you know get. And you look over, and she's, you know.
See, I would be annoyed. Annoyed then if she was into the movie, drifted away for a little bit, and then came back and was like, "Wait, where is that guy going?"
Right.
That would be annoying.
Yeah.
Then watch the movie.
Yeah. Sports, you're allowed. This is my rules. Sports, you're allowed to have your phone out. Game shows, sitcoms, that's okay. If it's a movie, no phone. And if it's an hour-long drama on Netflix, no phone. Because you're going to miss it. Yeah. And
if you're going to be the one who's going to be asked the question about what's happening, who's that, right?
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Here's some interesting text coming in. It says, I've checked Facebook on my phone while on Facebook on my computer.
I mean, at what point does it start to collapse in on it? At what point do you become a black hole?
Here's someone about the gaming said, I do the same thing. I use my Switch when my PS4 is loading. My husband plays video games at the same time as playing games on his phone.
Didn't we talk about in one of our meetings, there's somebody who comes here, we believe, in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And it appears they might be telling their wife or girlfriend or whatever that they've got to go into work at a specific time. So they get here about an hour early and play their Switch in the car in the parking lot.
I'm sorry, what is this?
Right? We were having the discussion.
We sort of created a backstory
for this
guy.
Yeah, we don't know if this is true, but it's a hypothetical.
Oh, okay.
Every morning he's seen in his car playing his Switch.
Yeah.
Here's another one. It says, I have a guitar tuner on my phone, and while tuning my guitar, spend 5 minutes looking for my phone, forgetting I was using it to tune my guitar. So that can definitely happen. While I notice myself doing it, I'm like, and I don't have a social media addiction, but certainly the device itself is right there for you.
Well, do you use the, or do you see like your screen time? Stats?
Yeah.
So
it's not bad.
I've taken that and you can put a limit on it. So like I've limited it. So like if you look right now on my phone, it says screen time will be limited until 10 a.m. So like I can't go in and use anything on my phone except like I'll leave my calendar open. You can pick which app you want open. So like my calendar is open in case I needed to add something or
how
whatever.
How easy is it to override that?
I mean, you can override it, but you don't, it kind of reminds
just
you.
Just a reminder, yeah.
Yeah, it reminds you, and it kind of grays out all of the apps on your phone.
Yeah.
And then same thing will happen if you reach your limit for social media.
Mm.
So I'll know, you know, like last night when we got off the conference call, I went to go on check Instagram again. And it was, even though I guess I hadn't, you know, it was down or whatever, if it's opened and I'm checking it, it's still adding time to it. So I was out of time.
All right.
And so it kind of just reminds you. And I was like, all right, well, I don't need to be on social media
anymore.
That's
kind of cool. All right, so a gentle way to reinforce not being so.
I would like to try that.
Screen intensive.
Okay. Steve, you mentioned yesterday or the day before about dumb phones and people sort of going to those.
It's a big new trend now.
What is a good dumb phone to? Because I would need to check email for work and an occasional link back into my job, but I would like to avoid being on my phone too much if possible.
So what it does, it seeks to not allow like game apps. And like real, so email, stuff like that. The one that I saw they were pushing, I didn't even recognize the manufacturer, but it's basically just like a small brick with, you know, like the old Nokia.
Okay.
You know, and it was that sort of deal. But people are actively purchasing the people, and the article made the point that many of these people are people who had or perceive themselves as having a severe addiction to the phone.
I use my phone all the time for work purposes, so like calendar stuff, and you know,
it would be hard for you to do that.
Okay,
but
yeah.
You know what? I don't. You always seem to be conscious of how much time you're spending on your phone. I don't see you to be somebody that's addicted to your phone.
I'm kind of aware of it though. Like it's a struggle, you know, and I have disdain for people who spend too much time on their phone and then I'll go and tweet about it. You know,
yeah, it seems a little hypocrisy there. The flip phones, the new flip phones are coming out are supposedly, so the flip phones are coming back in, Preston. Mm-hmm. And the idea is that if there's a cover down over the phone, you're not going to be, you don't have a screen laying out everything for you. There's one step involved with getting sucked back into it.
All right. Here's Tech says, while stoned, I sent a personal message and then put the phone up to my ear for them to return my message. there was another good one here. There's a bunch of them coming in, so I'm trying to keep up with them. This says, I've closed out of Facebook on the app and then immediately reopened it without even realizing it. And so there's a number of them coming in, but anyhow,
there's one thing that bothers me, by the way, and I it still pisses me off. Why isn't there I have a computer, a laptop version, or you go to Instagram.com, you can see things posted. Why can't you post things
because I believe they, and I think what I had heard earlier on, and maybe somebody had said it here, that they really want you to use your mobile device.
Yeah, they've created it for the mobile device.
Right, but enough now. Everyone's using it for that. Cut the crap.
I know.
But it's almost like
they're trying to border collie you.
Like the opposite. When there are sites that are created for a desktop, you try to use it on your phone and it's not so great. They just did it opposite.
It's stupid.
All right. So anyhow, well, maybe, those being down yesterday give you pause for a moment and you realize that you don't need to be on it all the time. Or maybe you were just like a freaking addict that didn't have their fix and were just going, jumping out of your skull.
Trying to text on your rotary phone.
Yeah, that too. Good luck with that. I did see this without help of those social media accounts, that the country's midsection is about to be hit by a rare potentially record-setting and what they call a bomb cyclone.
Yes.
Do you see Denver yesterday?
No.
Denver Airport really looked like some of the worst blizzard conditions I've seen in an urban environment in a long time.
It's going to affect 70 million people?
I don't know.
That's what I heard. 70 million people will be affected by this bomb cyclone.
It's going to bring everything from rain to snow to hurricane force winds and could leave severe flooding in its wake from Texas to Minnesota. So it's right up the middle of the country. The mayhem is already beginning as moisture streams from the Pacific to the Southwest. Up to 2 feet of snow could fall in New Mexico's mountains, accompanied by winds whipping across ridgetops at speeds of up to 75 miles an hour.
Jeez, you know, they're running cables across the Mississippi to keep the country from splitting.
As the storm pushes inland, the pressure, which drops as storms get stronger, is expected to dip into a range. This is what they use to measure it. It's called 970 millibars.
Millibars.
And it's on par with an average Category 2 Atlantic hurricane.
Well, you combine that with a snow situation?
Mm-hmm. The drop will be driven by the storm's winds as they wrap around its core in a counterclockwise direction, bringing moist, warm air from the Gulf of Mexico in contact with cold air from the upper Midwest and Canada. And the movement of the winds is called cyclonic, of course, and pressure is expected to drop to more than 24 millibars in 24 hours, which means that the storm is shaping up to fulfill the criteria for a rare inland bomb cyclone. And it could even take on a hurricane-like appearance when you see it on the weather maps.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So it's very rare for non-tropical systems, and even more so for storms in the central United States. It's also rare for nor'easters, which tend to be comma-shaped, they said, instead of like a circle, like a donut.
So what shape is this one again?
Like a cyclone, like a donut.
Like a semicolon?
No, like a donut, like a circle. The area facing wind gusts up to 60 miles per hour, the equivalent of a mature tropical storm, stretches for more than 1,000 miles from Sturgis, South Dakota, to the Texas-Mexico border. So I've never heard of this.
That's huge. So, you know, sometimes I've been in a storm and been on the road for a long time and driven out of it. Mm-hmm. You can't with this. Mm. It's too
that
huge.
Big. Yeah.
What's the most severe snowstorm event you've ever been
storm?
In?
Snowstorm? We were driving to Colorado, of all places, for a ski trip, and driving out of Missouri. Before we got through the state into Kansas, we hit some. It was snowing so heavily that it was easier to see by turning the headlights off than leaving them on.
Yeah. Oh, well, for me, that's the same situation.
I've been in that, yeah.
The Adirondacks, I told you about this. When I was driving through the Adirondacks, where I drove through a mountain pass with my headlights off.
Yeah.
Because I could see better with them off. Yep. And I was following that crease in the snow because there was a truck traveling ahead of me. It was the only thing I could see.
The lights make it blinding. You can't see anything.
I consider that a night I probably should have died but somehow survived.
We used to ski Jay Peak in Vermont every year, and we would drive there. And I remember we went through a storm like that where we had to turn the headlights off, but we couldn't see the street signs. Like, it was a mess. And my dad made a wrong turn, and we ended up in such a rural area. Fortunately, somebody saw us, found us, and escorted us back to the highway. Like, that's how far lost we were.
Could you imagine how effed you would have been?
But it was in those type of snowy conditions where we were turning the headlights off. I remember it was pretty bad.
Nick pulled up this video from Amarillo, Texas. This isn't all snow. This is a lot of it's just wind and rain and stuff like that. And so if you ever wonder why they have... for semi-tractor trailers,
they
issue a ban for empty trailers.
Empty trailers, yeah.
There's a video of this guy just driving his semi down the highway, and it just, it lifts up, the rear of the trailer lifts up in the air, and the entire truck flips over sideways. It was an 80-mile-an-hour gust of wind. That's, I've never seen anything like that.
Wow.
That's on Twitter, on Blake Brown is the person who tweeted it out. Man.
I am so glad it's the middle of the country.
So, but,
I hate to say that.
So that is called a bomb cyclone. And the most intense blast could rip up to like 80 miles an hour in the Rockies and Southern Plains. So, yeah. And if you're traveling into that area flying, you know, I'd be a little nervous about landing too. Nick had mentioned Denver Airport every single time I've flown into Denver. Every time. Yeah. It is a, it's, you're bouncing all over the place when, you, when you're coming in for the landing. The turbulence to land are scary there.
Three times I have been, twice had to stay overnight and just sleep in the airport, and one time had like an 11, 12-hour wait. Chicago O'Hare, traveling in the winter. Mm-hmm. Horrible nightmare. Sucks, that airport.
By the way, they, yesterday the FAA ended up banning those 737Bs.
Yes.
Yeah. So, or at least grounding them, not banning them. And I was wondering how that was going to affect our travel today to Clearwater, but I haven't seen any delays on our end.
Yeah, I saw a report from Trish Hartman at 6ABC, and she said that Philly is not affected that much. There's not a lot of 737 flights out of Philadelphia International. Of course, we're connected to millions of other airports, or hundreds. But
Kajillions.
Kajillions.
Just go with that number.
Yeah, kajillions. But anyway, Philly's not that bad.
Billion D.
Yeah.
Billion D.
A billion D
Over
dollars.
A billion D airports were affected by snow. Snow go boom boom.
But I mean, you could have potentially...
For a kajillion people will be rendered immobile thanks to a winter kabibble bob.
But, yeah, I was wondering about that. What if our flight would have gotten canceled? What would they have done? I mean,
well, it's I think be a pain in the ass. Go with their original plan, which is to have us take buses down there.
Oh, yeah.
What is our listing? There's some sort of sub-economy list that we're flying down on?
Basic economy.
Yeah. Basic economy, which honestly means we have to be put on with the luggage. Yeah.
I didn't know until yesterday that this existed. We are sub-economy, apparently.
We are sub-economy.
So the only reason I knew it existed was because I was planning a trip, and I work with a travel agent sometimes, and I asked him about that, and he was like, I never book a trip with that type of ticket.
Oh,
he's like,
no.
You do not want that ticket. Now, listen, we're just going to Florida.
No, it's
2 hours
totally
away.
Fine.
We'll be okay. But that was the only reason. He like strongly suggested not booking a ticket like that. He said, you have to pay the extra price and just get a regular economy ticket.
Well, I went online to book my, you know, to get my seat, you know, try to get my seat. All I could get was a dog carrier between a Shih Tzu and 100 pounds of bacon.
Listen, it's you can't choose your seats. Yep. You can't make any flight changes whatsoever. You board last and you sit in the back of the plane.
Okay. Listen, it's going to be wonderful.
I know. I don't care. Once I get on the plane, that's fine. It's 2.5 hours, whatever it is. It's an easy, easy flight. I just hope we get on the plane and don't get bumped and... Something
no,
like that happens.
You still paid for a ticket. I don't think they can bump you.
They sometimes do.
They sometimes do.
Yeah.
But they have to.
I've
they
never
bump
understood
you,
that.
And you know who goes
you,
first?
You have to agree.
Sub-economy.
You have to agree to it. If they've overbooked the flight, they have to get somebody that agrees to it. They have to convince somebody. So they're not just going to say.
They do, but sometimes there are flights where people won't budge.
Yeah, you've seen
and
it.
They'll be like, no.
Ladies and gentlemen, if someone wants to offer up their ticket and you see the announcements going by, give you two tickets to whatever, and time keeps going. I'm really serious about this.
Do they keep sweetening the deal?
Come on, you dickheads!
They will. They'll keep sweetening the deal. They'll give you miles. They'll offer to pay for the next flight, all, that type of thing.
I will use my mouth on you, please.
That I'd go for. You bribe me with sexual favors. Yeah. That's no problem.
Raleigh Durham, I will use my mouth on you.
Done.
I'm the person that doesn't budge. I will never. I will never budge. I'll become a flight attendant, start serving drinks before I get off that plane.
Kathy, 2 years ago, they were going to bump me against my will. I was going flying from Philly to Los Angeles, and I said no. I'm on this flight. I paid for my ticket. I really want to get there. Blah blah blah. There was a person who was on the plane. That person's spouse was off of the plane,
And so the spouse that was off of the plane eventually accepted the deal, Steve, that they were offering up.
They keep upping it, don't they?
They keep upping it. So the spouse then got, the spouse that was on the plane got off the plane, and I was able to take that person's seat.
When they do, if they do, and I don't know how the rules are laid out, but let's say someone's got to go. Do they go with the chronology of the booking? In other words,
well, you remember that doctor they threw off the plane of that Delta flight? It was a couple of years ago and made a big deal about it. And I think that was the situation where it was like, for some reason or another, you're the one that we've chosen to be kicked out of
here. Right. Is it the wheel of passengers?
I forgot. Yeah.
You're playing the wheel of passengers.
I forgot what the qualifications were.
Well, listen, let's, we'll hold out. All of us hold out and we'll maybe get a trip somewhere to Alaska or something.
Preston, bring a tambourine so we can just sit down in the aisles. All we are saying.
We have a sit in.
Is give peace a chance.
But they, I would imagine when they do make a trade for your seat, I would hope that the ticket they give you doesn't come with restrictions and things like that.
That sucks.
You get blackout dates.
Bumped on the next flight.
Wouldn't it be wild if they give your seat to someone who looks exactly like you? What?
Another bald guy? But
what I mean by that is they not only get you on another flight, but they'll usually offer you in a voucher of some sort for another flight. And hopefully that wouldn't be restricted.
Coming back from... Arizona, this dude ended up with a deal, and they were it was a big flight. It might have been a 747 or something. I don't know, but I remember him doing really nice, and you start to see everyone start to nod and go, maybe were considering, but they had to keep sweetening the pot.
Yeah. We flew back. This was when I was a kid, but my family and I got bumped from a flight from Orlando to Philly, and they put all of us in first class. I've only flown first class a few times in my life. But that was a pretty cool experience, and it was all five of us got to fly first class on the way home.
That's like winning the lottery.
Exactly.
Here's a text that says, always check in on the deal, free flights. It says, and I've actually gotten home faster by giving up my seat before.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Get you on another flight that leaves sooner. Interesting.
I will use my mouth!
That's interesting.
How can you pass that up?
You know what? I was flying once, and the flight got canceled for some reason, and everyone was kind of waiting. Oh, there was mechanical difficulties. That's what it was. And everyone was, like, rushing to find other flights, and there was a flight that was leaving at the gate right next to where this one was, and people just flocked to that gate. I got up front. I got on the plane. I was like, oh, yes, this is great. And they were like, there's no seats. I'd turn around and get off.
What's your inclination when something like that, you know, happens at the airport? This whole maelstrom takes place because the plane hasn't come in or whatever. Do you let it breathe a little bit and then figure out your plan of attack? Or are you the kind of person who goes, starts running down and, gets on the phone and starts doing it? I like to let it breathe and see
what happens,
what the options are.
That's probably the smarter idea. Right. I'm the frantic person. Yeah. I want to get the hell out of here. I want to get where I'm going. Yep. And,
I like to get the details worked out. Hang on, I want to go to Steve. He got a sweet deal. Hi, Steve. Good morning.
Hey, you guys rock.
Hey, thank you, man. So what happened? You were offered a different flight?
Yeah, no. Back in November, I went to Cancun, and they made like four laps around the waiting area to like offer people stuff. I saw the flight attendant. She kept on going back to her manager's office, and I guess he's like, yeah, bump it up. They got up to $3,500. I didn't take it, but I wanted to. I mean, it was really
$3,500.
Damn,
that's really. That's they started really with a copy of The Last Dragon on VHS.
Yeah, they got to $3,500.
But honestly, stop and think about it. To the person who's traveling, who's really not beholden to any time constraints.
Yes.
Why not?
Especially if, thanks for your call, by the way, especially if you're leaving from home.
Yes.
Okay, if you're already at your destination and you're coming back, that's a little more difficult because where am I going to stay?
Right.
What am I going to do for the next 12 hours or however long it is? But if you're here, if you're in Philly, you're like, all right, pop in the city, get a bite to eat, hang out for a little bit, and then go back to the airport or go back home or whatever it is.
So tomorrow we may not be on the air. We might be enjoying our new $3,500 windfall.
Yes.
That'd be nice. Here, I have Emily. Hi, Emily. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Gadzooks.
Gadzooks. So you got offered a deal, right?
Yeah, so I was flying to Brazil for work, actually. So my flight, I didn't even pay for it. And I ended up getting bumped from first class to business class, like, ooh, big deal. And because there was something wrong with the seat. They gave me a $1,000 voucher.
And you're on the flight.
And?
Yeah, oh, yeah, and 50,000 miles. And this is because I was flying United, and it was, like, 2 weeks after that doctor got bummed.
Oh, wow. Oh, so they were on their best behavior.
That was United? I thought that was Delta. Okay.
Was it? Okay.
She's right.
Emily, when I first saw the thing up here on the call screener, I thought you were offered between $1,000 and $50,000. I'm like, oh, that's a great deal. But the fact that you're able to stay on the flight and just had to do a little bit of a, you know, downgrade, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was amazing. And I ended up using the $1,000 voucher to fly first class round trip for a trip with my friends. And then I used my 50,000 miles. I cashed them in, and I ended up buying all my boyfriend's Christmas presents.
Wow, that's awesome!
Several hundred dollars worth of stuff.
That's very cool. I wonder. Thanks. Most people don't know about these things that they do. So I think if you were to inquire, you know, when the word goes up, when somebody, for example, when the first announcement comes up, when they say this, you say, "I'll do this right now," but I'm not doing it for that. Can you go up to the ticket counter? And you know, if it's obviously a clearly very overbooked flight,
right?
Is that something that you can
some
do?
Go up
and
say,
listen,
maybe.
Give me you know, $2,000 and $100,000.
It seems like that might be the case.
Years ago, we had a guy on called the Travel Detective, and he called in a few times and gave us some interesting tips. And I'd read part of his book, and he said, if you're a regular traveler and you want to get things like, you know, perks and bumped up and so on and so forth like that, the person that you need to get to know is the person at the counter.
Yeah.
And always, always be nice to them.
Oh, yes.
Because they can do things for you. And if you're a regular traveler and you go to a regular gate, there's usually the same people working there.
Mm-hmm.
Be nice to them. Bring them little tchotchkes or something like that. Hey, good to see you again.
He advised at the time with CDs, or he had like right. little like, or like things you just have and say, you like this band or whatever.
Yeah, President Steve Callender's, for
President
example.
Steve Callender's, yes.
Yeah. And Timo is the name of the guy that works at the American Gate. He listens to the President Steve show.
Ah.
Shout out to Antimo.
What's up, Timo?
You can make that $3,500 checkout to the President Steve show.
I am always nice to the people that check you in.
Yep.
Just so when I put my bag up on the scale and it's 53 pounds, I'm like, please let it go. Please let it go. Please
we'll
let
you go.
Do you do that thing where you bite your lower lip and go, I'm a bad girl. Oh, I'm a bad girl.
Well, we'll have our own experience in sub-economy class. Yeah. What is it?
Basic economy.
Basic economy.
Do you know what happens in this? I just found out, Preston, on the airline's page, it says, you don't get any food, but after the stewardess eats her lunch, she comes and breathes in your face.
Oh, that's nice. Number one show in Philadelphia, folks. These are the perks we get.
Listen, I know you're wrapping up, but somebody on the phone line says that they usually bump the people that check in last, so I think we'll be okay. Marissa will get bumped.
It's hard to bump you out of steerage.
Hang on. But let me go to Jennifer. That's who that is, because she worked for an airline, and she's been on hold for a while. Right. Hey, Jennifer, good morning.
Hey, good morning. You guys rock.
Thank you, Jennifer. What's up?
So I worked for a major airline for 12 years, and there is a system. So who gets bumped? So when they overbook, they assume that somebody's not going to show up because somebody always doesn't show up. But after that, it doesn't go according to your kind of ticket. It's the order that you've checked in, and then it's volunteers. It's very organized. I know when you get to the gate, it doesn't seem that way, but they do have a system. And whenever I would work an overbooked flight, it always went very smoothly. As long as you pre-plan and you have a plan in place for those people that you want to ask, a lot of people are very cooperative.
Okay. So, Jennifer, it was my understanding that years and years and years ago, like in the early 50s when they had a situation like this, they would do bare-knuckle fighting to see who would get on.
They would actually dip their hands in glass. Glue and glass. Made it entertaining.
Yeah, I want business glass.
Thank you, Jennifer. Marissa?
I just want to, for the record, state that I check in 24 hours ahead of time so that I can show up 45 minutes before the gate. Yes.
That's what I was thinking.
So I'm always checked in. I'm good.
You're checked in. You just get to the airport right on time.
Yeah, who wants to wait at the airport?
If you're traveling today, you might see us at the airport because we're headed to FLA tomorrow. We need to take a quick break. A couple things to tell you about. We have a hottie cam. The ladies of the Tilted Kilt are here. And we have Kendall and Samantha, Kendall and Sam, who are currently on the hottie cam. They're from the Sicklerville location of Tilted Kilt. So we have that and also a chance for you to win free Dunkin' iced coffee for an entire year. We have the emoji code. So check our social media accounts. We have that posted. If you can decipher the code later on, jot that down because later on we'll ask you to call in with that. And the winner gets free Dunkin' iced coffee for an entire year. We'll come back in just a moment. The Bizarre File's on the way next.
93.3 WMMR presents an epic co-headline summer tour with Korn and Alice in Chains. Saturday, August 3rd at BB&T Pavilion with special guests Under Oath. Tickets on sale now. Ticketmaster.com. Korn and Alice in Chains North American Tour. August 3rd at BB&T Pavilion. Presented by 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Hey, I have a $50 gift card to give away for Tilt a Kilt.
Nice.
And I'll take call number 7 at 215-263-WMMR, lucky number 7. And you can head out and use that joining Brent Porsche on Saturday as he does the live broadcast from 3 to 7 p.m. on Saturday at the Tilted Kilt in Sicklerville. And they're also going to be doing concert ticket giveaways there each hour, and that includes Fleetwood Mac, Foles, Slayer, and Dead & Company. My God, is that an eclectic mix of concert tickets?
Something for everybody. From Fleetwood Mac to Slayer?
Fleetwood Mac, Foles, Slayer, and the Dead & Company. So those will be given away that day. So several things going on this morning. I want to make sure that we have all the information for you. We have a chance for you to win Dunkin' iced coffee for a year with an emoji code. So go to all of our social media accounts. You'll see the emoji code. It's a series of emojis that spells out a phrase. Decipher that. Write it down. Later on, we'll ask you to call in and win free Dunkin' iced coffee for an entire year. And coming up around 9-ish or after 9, we have a concert announcement this morning. A really cool one. And I believe we'll have some tickets to give away in conjunction with that announcement.
It is. You're going to love it.
A lot taking place today. We have some guests coming up, but let's do the Bizarre File, shall we?
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
And it is brought to you by French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville. With everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. Sometimes that holla. Oh. I can't believe that Nick actually said that.
That's not processed.
And I hear it for years and just every once in a while just rings very true in my ears. So anyhow, French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville. Everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond, all the big name brands, they have them. So visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional information. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else? Yes.
I'm a treasure.
Yeah. The NYPD is investigating claims, listen to this, that a Brooklyn police officer's body camera inadvertently recorded audio of her performing oral on her boss inside a squad car while on the job.
That is a perk of the body cam I had not even anticipated.
During a recent midnight tour in East New York's 75th Precinct, the officer and her sergeant purportedly started getting frisky inside their car, with the female cop tucking her body camera into her vest, thinking that it was off. But during the action, the camera switched on, capturing audio that left little to the imagination.
No video, though.
The female officer can be heard gushing to her lover about the apparent sex act after they were done. So they were talking about it afterwards.
I hope you're familiar with the penal code.
The recorded rendezvous was likely uncovered by a precinct superior during a routine review of the couple's body camera footage after their shift.
You have the right to remain engorged.
The claims are under internal review. I have no idea what kind of repercussions they
My guess is that. They're looking at promotions.
You know?
Yeah.
You are a go-getter.
That was awesome.
I've never heard of a story like this before. Chickens in a school farm in northwestern France are believed to have grouped together and killed a fox.
What?
Yes.
The chickens ganged up and said, enough!
Now, when you look at the numbers, you can understand why. The unusual incident took place after the fox entered the coop with 3,000 hens.
Love the odds.
Through an automatic hatch door, which closed immediately. There was a herd instinct, and they attacked him with their beaks. That's according to Pascal Daniel, the head of farming at the agricultural school. The body of the small fox was found the following day in a corner of the coop. He said that it had blows to its neck, and those were blows from beaks. The farm is
beak blows.
Home to up to 6,000 free-range chickens who were kept in a five-acre site.
They finally said, Preston, not again.
Yeah, the coop is kept open during the day, and most of the hens spend their daytime outside. They can be quite tenacious when they are in a pack, according to the witness. So they actually killed the fox. I've never heard of that. Here's a follow-up story. A Tennessee judge was in no mood for nonsense Tuesday after a hearing for a defendant accused of dipping his testicles in salsa that a customer ordered from a Mexican restaurant earlier this year.
We had heard about that.
Yes, that's a follow-up.
Yeah.
So court judge Robert Hedrick reportedly snapped and said, "What are you laughing about, Mr. Webb?" when he heard chuckling in his courtroom.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "There is nothing about this situation that I find cute or funny. It's abhorrent."
Now, had it been horsey sauce, that would have been a hoot.
The defendant, Howard Matthew Webb, pleaded guilty to an amended charge of misdemeanor assault and offensive touching. Webb reportedly laughed after entering his plea, drawing the judge's ire.
Yeah.
The defendant was arrested last month and initially charged with felony adulteration of food, liquids, or pharmaceuticals. Female driver, with whom Webb had tagged along with, recorded Webb allegedly in the act, posted the video online saying that it was retribution for an 89-cent tip for an almost 30-minute drive. Webb was sentenced to 6 months of supervised probation and is required to attend daily alcohol counseling sessions for 3 months. The delivery driver was not charged and has been fired from her job.
Probably shouldn't laugh in court, but it is pretty funny.
Well, of course it is.
Yes. Yeah. Just laugh after the sentence.
You can stifle it
right
while you're in front of the bench. I showed Kathy this picture yesterday. A koala in an Australian wildlife sanctuary has become an unlikely social media star after an image of the macho marsupial went viral. If our interns could search under the world's sexiest koala, I would like for you to see this picture.
I love koala bears.
Rogue is his name. Rogue, the koala, struck the suggestive pose at the Crumbin Wildlife Sanctuary on Australia's Gold Coast. And the photographer, Ross Long, captured the image and posted it to his Instagram account, quickly turning Rogue into a star. The caption that accompanied the image was, "Draw me like one of your French girls, Jack." So we're looking at this. He's lounging in a tree.
That's hilarious.
And the shape his body takes is almost like a male model.
Yeah.
That's so cute.
Going, you know, feast your eyes, ladies.
Don't worry. I did the gentleman's talk.
It's hilarious. He said, "You may have seen our very own superstar koala Rogue during the rounds on social media recently, according to the Wildlife Sanctuary. He has gained international headlines for being the world's sexiest koala and is now an online megastar." It's pretty damn funny. Police are investigating reports of someone stealing underwear from the boys' change room at the Simcoe Recreation Center.
Don't look at me.
Yeah. The OPP says investigators determined unknowns have removed underwear from the room on three separate occasions since the beginning of the new year while kids were swimming.
How creepy is that?
Nearby. Yeah, I know. Police began investigating
what in this world?
After the last theft, and anyone with information is asked to call Crime Stoppers.
That underwear theft and that stuff like at gyms takes place more than you would imagine.
You know what? I bet you're
right.
Yeah.
Bunch of pervs out there.
They enjoy it. All right, and there you go. That's what I have for you in the Bizarre File for now. Let's take a break, but I'm going to give away some passes to Club Risqué because Alexis Texas is coming to town. And Alexis will be performing. She's got a few different shows. The one we're going to send you to is Friday, March 22nd at Club Risqué in Philly. You have to be at least 21 years of age. Call number 18. You get it, 215-263-WMMR. And you can visit clubrisqué.com for information on all three of her Club Risqué appearances, March 21st through the 23rd. We'll come back in a moment. Mo Mandel, who's going to be at Punchline, will be in our studio in a little bit. We're also going to have Christina Hendricks on the show.
Yeah.
And the ladies of the Tilted Kilt in Sicklerville are on our hottie cam. We'll be right back. Sick.
93.3 WMMR.
Online.
On demand.
And on the air.
Including our digital HD signal. The best sounding MMR there is. WMMR HD. And HD2. The WMM Archives channel.
You guys know how terrible my memory is. And last time we had a comedian and I said, hey, it's always great to meet new friends. And he's like, yeah, I've been here before.
Listen, we have a lot of people through here.
So I hope I'm not going to make the same mistake right now. Right. It's always nice to meet new friends.
How dare you? I served you coffee this morning, you dick.
Well, I wasn't sure. I forgot I was on XM for a second.
He'll be performing at Punchline tonight, Friday, Saturday. This is Mo Mandel.
Yay!
It's good. It's weird to walk into a radio station early, no coffee, sleep deprived, and there's like eight gorgeous women who are scantily clad.
Okay, let's just get this day going right away.
That's welcome to terrestrial.
Yeah, exactly. Well done. I think I have seen you guys, maybe. I was here in 2013 doing my Philly tour, and it went very well, so I waited 8 years to come back.
I think so. You like to space them out every 8 years once you have a hit.
Yeah, I'll see you guys when Trump's on his eighth term.
When they change the law.
Yeah, he'll be changing that soon, I'm sure.
Exactly. Well, listen, welcome to our show. We appreciate it. I'm really intrigued about the podcast that you do.
Mm-hmm.
Is it mainly about sex and interaction with this?
I'm dating this doctor of sexual medicine, is a urologist named Dr. Ashley Winter. Uh-huh. And we do this podcast called The Full Release, which is kind of like Loveline. And we take sex questions. Although, I'm going to have to murder her because she was on Dr. Drew yesterday.
What?
And this is how she introed me. Yeah, I do the podcast with my boyfriend who's a comedian. End of plug. Well done, babe. So now that they just have to Google comedian boyfriend and then just sift through 9,000 Google pages.
Right. So your mind starts like sort of spinning when you like your girlfriend's a female, you know, she's a urologist.
Yeah. So she basically looks at like 87 penises a day.
Yeah.
And then I have to pull mine out and she goes, top 15. You know what I mean?
That's not bad.
That's not bad. It's better than my 3 o'clock. I'll give you that.
Mo, she plugged the podcast on Twitter yesterday as well and didn't give you a plug there either.
Yeah. So we have some real domestic things to talk about here, you know.
Yeah.
But it is a little, the only thing I tell myself is if you're a penis doc, you could say that word.
Yes,
penis.
Absolutely.
You could say doctor. You could say doctor. If you're probably not seeing the good ones, right? Like, no one's going to the doctor like, what are you here for? A high five. You know what I mean? Like, there's probably some reason, you know, so I tell myself that.
She sees the bad ones.
She's a variety, but, you know, they're probably not just, she's probably not doing a lot of, like, reduction surgeries, I'm guessing.
Well, exactly. So when you go to a urologist, it's not, the most common issue treated is microphallus. It's urinary issues. Doesn't mean you have small junk.
No, not at all. There's a million things. But anyway, it's been fun to do the podcast, and she's taught me a lot about my own stuff.
Yeah.
You know, because she knows the area. We don't even have sex a lot. Sometimes she just sort of gives me a judo strike on the right side of it, and I blast out a gold coin. I didn't even know.
Wow.
Yeah, and I didn't even know that happened.
That's
badass. Yeah. Can I tell you a secret? And ladies, you might find this interesting. I didn't know women had to wipe down there after they peed till I was 19 years old.
What? Really?
You not have sisters?
No, and I grew up in the country, and I would see friends. Why would I? How would I? Friends?
Female friends.
Yeah, at 19, your female friends are always inviting you into the bathroom to watch them clean.
You got to see this.
No, here's the reason is I grew up in the country, and I would see my mom pee in the garden. Because that's how...
You would watch your mom pee in the garden?
She would be down there. That's in the country. That's how that works. Your mom just pees on the food that she then serves her family. And I would see her down and she wouldn't wipe. She'd just kind of give it a good mom stomp. Yes. And that was that.
Oh my
and
what?
Then, yeah, she just sort of like kind of shake it out.
Here's something I'll admit. So I do have a sister. She's older than me. And I thought for the longest time that girls didn't poop at all because... I saw sometimes she wouldn't flush the toilet, and there was just toilet paper in there. Toilet paper and pee.
Bam! That's perfect.
That's good deductive reasoning.
By that logic, you also didn't know women wiped after they peed.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
It's quite possible.
It's interesting. And I remember the first time I found out. This girl, we're going to have sex, and we're in the woods, and she's like, do you have any toilet paper? I'm like, if you do that out here, I'm just going to leave you out here. And she's like, no, that's what women have to do. I'm like, oh, well, that's not what my mom does when I watch her pee. And then that was the end of the date.
No sex.
That was the end of prom right there.
Wow. So, yeah. But you learn a lot in the woods, don't you?
Well, when you live in the country, that's how your sex life works. You just sort of trespass and get laid at the same time. You know?
Where's the country? Where'd you grow up?
A little town called Boonville, California.
Boonville.
Yeah, it's about 3 hours north of San Francisco, right where that meth-wine intersection.
Meth meets wine?
Meth meets wine, yeah.
So
meth is oaky with a hint of Theraflu.
I like the Theraflu, yeah.
It's good stuff. And that's what the sponsoring my comedy tour.
Okay. when you're living out there though, and it's a different thing. You have media. If you want to go explore, if you're dating a girl, you just wander off into the woods.
Yeah. There's a lot of outdoor sex and a lot of wildlife kind of peeping on you as you're getting it done. You know, a lot of voyeuring raccoons.
Raccoons love. Watching, yeah.
Yeah, they're a horny bunch.
It's funny, too. Whenever you say you're from California, it's like, you know, I'm from New York, but everyone, you know, oh, you're from Manhattan. You're from Los Angeles.
No, I'm from the country. I'm from the part of California where there's no Me Too allegations. Let's put it that way. I live in L.A. now, where it's just like... I haven't been accused of anything, which makes me feel like my career really sucks. Because that's how you judge how you're doing in showbiz. If no one's accusing you of anything, you know, you really haven't made a name.
It's not
for yourself.
Happening. Yeah. Yeah. I just watched a documentary called Murder Mountain, and it was
that takes place near me. Yeah,
yeah, really. So that's the thing, Humboldt County, and you always heard about Humboldt weed. So I just assumed that it was like a love, peaceful area where, you know, people just smoke pot.
Well, it's interesting because it was. When my parents moved up there, it was like, we're just smoking weed. And then obviously these cartels are like, we're going to sell weed. Let's just move out into those mountains and buy it all up. So growing up, you know, it was a lot of like, if you go hiking, even on our own property that my parents own, they're like, don't go to that side because we think people are growing over there now.
So, Mo, what are we talking from south of the border, cartels making their way up there? Or what?
I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I'm just trying to sound cool. So, you know, I have no idea. Cartels might be a stretch.
I don't know. A dude with weed.
I mean, guys with guns.
That seems so far.
I didn't ask for their library cards, but they seemed unfriendly.
Still pretty dangerous. I mean, watch the documentary.
Yeah, it doesn't look fun. Yeah,
no.
I don't you love Netflix documentaries, by the way?
God.
It's like the best way to not feel dumb. Yeah. You haven't read a book since high school. You watch half a Netflix documentary before you get on RedTube, and you're like, well, I'm pretty much a college professor now. You know, you just have like one fact you're waiting to drop.
What's your favorite?
As a Jew, I try to watch a lot of Hitler documentaries just so I can, you know, stay informed about what he's up to. You know?
You know he's dead.
Well, you know, they say that. You know, there's a lot of rumors. But I watched one the other day, and I learned this, which I thought was fascinating, that Hitler, for his whole life, was a vegetarian.
Yes.
Which I hope for health reasons. You know, I hope it wasn't just like, God, I feel bad, you know. Just feel really guilty. But that's just so weird to me. It's just weird when you know extra things about terrible people.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, I want to know you're a serial killer, not like you're a serial killer and you're allergic to pineapple. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to know... stuff, but it's weird that to think of like Hitler in that context, like he was like giving a speech sometime, like, we're gonna kill the Jews, we're gonna kill them. Is there a fish option, by the way, after this? I really try to avoid meat if I can. It's just bizarre, you know.
He was vegetarian. He was an artist.
He was basically a hipster. He had a weird mustache, a vegetarian, an artist. I mean, he belongs in Philadelphia.
Exactly.
I think he stopped fully eating meat when his sister died, and he saw her as a piece of meat.
Yes.
Something
and
like
he was
that.
Like, I can't do it, but I can kill 6 million people.
Right.
You know, it's a weird...
I'll tell you where that whole Holocaust vibe probably...
Alleged Holocaust.
Holocaust emanated from. He apparently had dramatically severe flatulence all of his life.
Because of the vegetarianism.
Yes.
That's what his doctor honestly thought.
Right, right.
Yeah. I'm not kidding. That's what they really thought, which is like, if I was McDonald's, that would be my slogan. Hitler was a vegetarian. Eat meat. What a perfect way to, you know.
Do you not like learning these things because it almost humanizes
it
them?
It humanizes them.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, it makes me think if I went to dinner with Hitler and he was eating a salad and I got a steak, he would be judging me. I mean, I'm a Jew, so he'd probably be doing some of that anyway. But it's just it's a weird thing that he'd be like, you know, if I'm eating dinner with Hitler and I'm telling him about the Holocaust, you know, you shouldn't have done that. He'd be like, well, you should watch Forks Over Knives on Netflix. That would really tell you a lot about the beef industry. You know?
Do you think there was ever a time when that veneer came down and he could sit down to dinner with you? You're Jewish? All right.
To Stein's moving so quickly, you know, I'd like to think if Hitler was alive now, he'd have like a slightly more open Actually, it doesn't seem like things are opening up in that area, so probably not.
Slightly more open, but it seems a little bit more agreeable now.
You mentioned Netflix on, having great documentaries. I was reading a stat today that the average person watches Netflix about 2 hours a day.
Holy hell.
Which seems like a bit much.
It does.
I was kind of surprised.
Well, as a comic on the road, I can tell you that's not too much.
Really? Yeah, I would imagine.
Because right. After this show, I work at 7:30, so there's a lot of time. But why are they all about serial killers?
Because that you look at Dateline, you look at anything like that. The murder...
People eat it up.
Fascinated. Did you watch the Ted Bundy?
I watch all of them, and it's stupid. It's the only fact...
I didn't like it.
There's no reason you have to know about it.
Yeah.
Like, even if you get kidnapped by a serial killer, you're never going to be like, all right, quick, what year did Ted Bundy graduate junior college? You know, like, there's no reason you have to know this stuff. But can I... this is a... something I've tried to talk about in my act a little bit, and it never works.
All right.
But I do think it's an interesting thing with what's happening with all the horrible violence in this country. If you're a serial killer right now, you have to feel kind of marginalized.
Right.
Because mass shooters are just stealing the spotlight. And if you think about it, they kill way more people and they work so much less.
Yeah.
Like, they don't put any hours in. They don't rent, they don't drive a semi-truck, you know. They don't go to the DMV to get that Class A license. They don't even bury their own bodies.
Yeah.
These kids don't know how to work anymore.
You're right.
You think if you're a serial killer, you're watching this, you're like, that doesn't count. You know, that's not what it's all about. There's no art in that.
Yeah.
Back in my day,
we used to stalk our victims, you know? Like the Night Stalkers. And serial killers must look at mass shooters the way comedians look at YouTube stars.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, this is garbage. I mean, yeah, you have high numbers, but there's something like this doesn't mean anything.
Dean used to actually tan their hides, right. Literally.
Have you eaten any of your victims? Have you eaten them? No, exactly. And also, I'll say this for serial killers, at least they don't kill themselves. They stick around to see what kind of nickname they're going to get. And you got to respect that.
They just got a guy who he's now... Originally, he had been, they thought, 18, 19, which puts him, you know, decidedly in the serial killer realm.
It's legal. I don't know where the story's going.
Now they say it could be as high as 100 people.
Oh.
And apparently, he has a photographic memory, and that's what he claims. He's drawing what they look like so they can help find these people. But, yeah, you're right. The serial killer seldom takes his own life. He couldn't have a serial series of deaths.
It's just a weird. Yeah. It's a weird thing to think about because they're obviously all horrible. But at least compared to mass shooters, serial killers exhibit traditional American values. You know, working hard year after year. You know, sacrificing, and it for the right reasons.
Right.
Mo, you mentioned something I'd never even considered. You know, that they're able to find out what their nickname is, and I wonder which of them, you know.
Is disappointed.
ETK, that doesn't quite roll off.
Right, exactly. I just love this image of them going through the paper like, oh, it's out, it's out, it's out. And they're going through like, come on, Bush killer, come on, Bush. Oh, the small penis minivan butt snuggler. Damn it, that's not why I went to serial killer college.
Why don't they all name them all that? Like, you know, instead of
100%. Night Stalker, if I could change my name right now to Night Stalker Mandel, there's no way I would. I'd have sold out every show already.
Right? They name themselves sometimes. Times though when they'll send their little
Zodiac.
Manifesto and they'll sign it, and that's so I guess if anything is to be learned from this, name yourself before they do it.
Well,
right?
Why doesn't the media just like, there was another killing, we think it was dandruff herpes balls. the horrible killer, dandruff herpes balls. That's what he's known for because that's what he has, all three.
Yes. Poopy Pants Paul strikes again.
Yeah, don't give him a good one. Poopy Pants Paul, right, if you have an eighth grader writing the headline.
Doesn't matter.
If it's for a junior high school newspaper, that would be a perfect...
I hope he's named Paul.
Right. That'd even be worse. My name's not
even Paul.
I'm Ethan.
If you're just tuning in, it's Mo Mandello's here. He's going to be at Punchline this weekend. And it's people are going to be celebrating St. Patrick's Day this weekend, so it's going to be a pretty fired up time in the city, I would think.
Wow. You know what? I honestly didn't even, I swear to God, I didn't even know that.
You start to lose track. You work a lot, obviously, and I did stand up for a while, a brief period. When you're out and you're doing stuff on the road, it all becomes a blur. So are you, do you travel well when you get to a town? Do you do you, Do you go out and do things? Do you just, you know, what's your
I'm
MO?
Like such a hacky traveler.
Are
like
you?
As soon as I landed yesterday, I was like, better get a cheesesteak. It's just like, it's so lame.
You're going to do
like,
that.
I honestly don't eat. Like, I would not be in L.A. like, let me get a steak sandwich at 3:40 in the afternoon. That'll be the perfect idea. But right. Yeah, I do all the hacky stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to probably go see the Bell that you guys got here.
It's boring as hell.
It doesn't sound fun.
Yeah, it's incredible.
But I'll just do it because do it. I'll go to the Rocky thing.
I think there's a certain protocol that says you need to get the touristy stuff out of the way.
Yeah, it goes, it's weird if someone's like, oh, I heard you went to Philly. Yeah, great laser tag arena. You know what I mean? Like, you have to, like, you got to, like, do the stuff, right?
Yeah.
But it is a weird kind of traveling because, you know, you go by yourself. So it's just such a weird, like, it's something if you're, like, you know, taking a hike by yourself or this, that. But when you're just, like, out on a day in Philadelphia alone, like, it's just it's weird, you know. You end up like eating alone, you go to the museum alone, you do this. So
but you get good at it. It's just but it's still weird.
It is weird. Yeah.
If you do the Rocky steps, just keep going into the museum because the steps are cool and it's a neat view of the city, but then there's an entire world-class art museum right behind it.
Dude, that's not how people do it now. We just travel for Instagram. I'm just doing it for the gram,
man. I was at the flower show last weekend and there were three what looked to be Instagram models walking around, and they had their phones with them the whole time, and the reason that they were at the flower show was not to observe any of the flowers, was to get the
phones.
I'll
tell you what was very disappointing. I went to a party, my only ever party, at the Playboy Mansion, like about a couple months before it closed, and I was like, is this going to be orgies? This is going to be amazing! And I go there, it was Midsummer Night's Dream. Just hot chicks Instagramming themselves the whole time.
That's it, right?
It was nothing sexy about it. It was like just girls staring at their phone, everyone tagging Playboy Party, and I was like, I should have been here in the 80s when I was like drowning in cocaine.
Like when James Caan was there.
James Caan was committing a Me Too movement every 3 seconds, most likely.
Towards
just
the end
guessing,
of those.
Don't want to throw another tough Jew under the bus, but
those parties, you could buy, we were talking about it on air one time, and a couple of our listeners said, yeah, we went to those. I'm like, how did you get in? When he was throwing them, you could buy your way into them, no problem, right? They went on.
This is how unsexy the party was. I spent most of the time looking at the little spider monkeys in the cage, which they have these like monkeys all over the place. So I was like, at least they're like not taking pictures of themselves.
No, you're right.
There might be some sex going on. You know what I mean? Those monkeys are frisky.
I find it decidedly unattractive when a hot girl's just staring at her phone the whole time.
Right.
What a waste. I mean, come on.
It's a weird, like, time, too, because, like, as a comedian, your whole thing is, like, trying to get popular on the internet.
Yeah.
And, like, I'll make what I think are very funny posts, and I've been doing this 15 years. I've obviously, I know how to be funny. And then I'll be like, oh, I got 8 likes. And it'll look at, like, random hot chick on skateboard. 600 likes. Yeah. It's just, like, there's zero competing. Like, the perviness of the Instagram audience is clearly very, very high.
Well,
it's wild.
We were talking about that cheating scandal with the universities. I'm sure you saw this.
Dude, I just sent that to my mom, and I was like, and you say you love me. Really? Well, it was interesting because Lori Loughlin and Felicity Huffman got caught cheating for their kids' entrance exams on the same day that high-ranking Catholic priest got sent to jail. So it was just a tough day for people who love kids. You know? Instagram post, 8 likes.
Yeah.
No, but what do you think of that?
Who was it? Is it Lori Loughlin's daughter?
It's Olivia. Yeah, she's an Instagram star.
She's an Instagram influencer.
Yeah.
One of those. And there's your perfect example.
Yeah, but they're just so unfair to her and like all these kids. Because like I was watching, like, I hate how CNN is such a crappy news organization now that this is a story for them. I was looking online. Mm-hmm. They're like, look what she said about her college experience. And they cut to one of her Instagram posts and she's like, yeah, I don't think I'm going to study that much. And I'm like, yeah. Every 19-year-old has said that. Like, what do you like? Yeah.
But in context, we said the same thing because it makes news. Yeah. But the truth of the matter is that, and that's if you learn the story as it goes, she didn't want to go to college. She's been making a ton of money off the Instagram stuff. She's an influencer for Sephora.
Yeah.
So the parents say, no, we didn't go to college. You've got to go to college. So they get her into college. And now she might lose the Sephora thing because of this whole thing she didn't want to do in the first place.
Yeah, it's not going to be good for her, I guess you'd call it a career. I don't know what that is. But it is like, how dumb must these kids be? You're going to like high-level L.A. private schools. You know they all have tutors. And you still can't get in without like a $100,000 bribe?
I know.
Like, that's really high-level dumb.
But it's wild to see this. And we were talking about this earlier. Had this have just been the people minus Lori Loughlin and Felicity Huffman – the focus would not have been anywhere near what it is right now. Oh, there's a scandal involving.
Right. Or you'd just be like, ah, white people up to their old tricks. You know what I mean? You wouldn't put the Hollywood thing. What I want to know is, why is William H. Macy so not involved in this
right?
story?
Yeah. That's like, what I keep saying.
It's so weird. They're like, hey, it's the mother's job. You know, it's just like, it seems so sexist. Like William H. Macy's like, what? Yeah. We were paying $100,000 for that? Well, I had no way. I was too busy having a ponytail to know that was what was going on.
I mean, they haven't even mentioned him.
Not
in
at
any
all.
Of the stories.
Yeah. And also it's weird that, not to show how hip I am, but Tekashi 6ix9ine is this famous rapper.
Oh, we know well. Yeah,
he's a the best Instagram guy ever.
He's in jail right now.
Yeah, he murdered all these people. Allegedly, I don't know if he murdered people, but whatever. He's allegedly did a bunch of crimes. His bail was $750,000. Lori Loughlin's was $1 million. Like, what? Like, what did she do? Like, she obviously had the high level. My brother's a lawyer. He's like, they must be, like, really legit charges to jack it up like
and
that.
And hers was more than Felicity Huffman's.
Yeah.
Well, Felicity Huffman paid $15,000. Yeah. That's the deal. That's what they're saying. That and Lori Loughlin paid $500,000.
Well, they also said another parent paid $6 million.
Yes.
So their kid must have been in a coma or something. Like, how does it take that much to get your kid into a studio?
Yeah.
And also, college is worthless. Like, I remember when I graduated from college, I had like a 3.8 or something like that. It was in creative writing, so it was pretty easy. But I went to apply for jobs. They're like, do you have any experience? No, I just got out of college. Like, yeah. Well, then you have no experience. Yeah. Like, it doesn't do anything for you.
I tell people this, and I try, hey, youngsters, listen to Pops here. It'll teach you to learn. It'll teach you how to learn. When you get to a job, it's not like, unless, there are very few jobs where you're turkey out of school and can start going.
You know what will teach
you
a lot?
You again.
Going to jail. I mean, Lori Loughlin, she's going to know so much about shanks and smuggling.
Sure, yeah.
She's going to get this incredible education that her daughter will never experience unless they cough up $20,000 to get into prison. But
the funny thing is that in my entire life, I have never once been asked what college I went to, if I went to college, if I went to high school, if I have any education whatsoever.
The only time I'm ever asked anything is like if I do something really dumb and someone's like, did you go to college? That's the only time that comes up.
But that return on investment for the $6 million to get...
so terrible.
I mean, it's moronic, you know? What kind of economic lessons are you teaching your kids?
Yeah, unless you're like, if you want to be a trial lawyer.
My girlfriend is a doctor. She went to like real college and can do real stuff.
Yeah.
But if you're like, I went to college, I took one global studies class, so I know one fact about India. Yeah. Like, I feel like that's basically how college works. You know one fact about stuff.
Right.
You know, so someone's like, oh, World War II. You're like, yeah, China got involved in 1933. All right, I'll see you later. You know, you just got to get out of there before they realize you know nothing beyond that
it's
one
like
thing.
It's like watching a Netflix special.
It's exactly the same thing. Yeah. And that's why we do it. So we can just sort of be like, yeah, I'm with it. Like I am a complete idiot. I never read books, but I'll put on NPR in the morning so I can be like, I know what you're talking about. Please don't ask me any follow-up questions. But I do know who Juan Guaido is.
It does help. So you need, man. I would say, know a little about a lot, but not enough about anything. So
yeah,
that seems to be it for what we do. That's fairly helpful.
Because what you guys do is basically you have like a cocktail party every morning.
Exactly.
You just sort of like kind of touch on stuff. Yeah. You know, you know the big stuff.
The Boxer Rebellion. Yes.
Yeah, Boxer, those Chinese and Christians.
Yeah.
Oh, what else happened? Let's fast forward to the Mao thing.
The Boer War, of course.
Right, exactly. Yes. Which is fine because, like, I don't know. Anytime I follow the news, I mean, it just feels so stuck in the same thing. I'm like, oh, let's turn on the news. Oh, Middle East, Israel, Latin America, America doing some weird shady stuff. Okay, is this 1985? Like, it doesn't really...
Yeah.
It seems like you're seeing the hacky comedians act again. And you're like, I feel like I recognize a lot of this material.
There is a certain similarity to it.
Right. Another thing that has changed over the years with the news, Mo, wasn't that way in my day, but every single newscast, no matter what, local newscast leads with... breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. A car hit a fire hydrant.
Right.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. Look what so-and-so retweeted.
Yeah.
Like, what? How is that a news thing?
Do you remember when, though, there was a time when breaking news would be breaking news?
Yeah, but this is my favorite story. It was on today. It was a mob boss.
Yes.
Dude, it's like, what a perfect throwbacky kind of crime headline for a throwback Thursday.
I said to Preston today, that is a classic nostalgic mob
nostalgic
hit, which and honestly, we were saying it, I sort of felt, wow,
oh, that's
they
sweet
still
up to it.
They still do those.
That's exactly how I feel.
Are, like you, are you like a Scorsese fan?
Of course.
I mean,
yeah.
I'm sorry. Maybe it says less about us, but you talk about serial killers. The mob. Who is
give
it fascinated
me, give me
with
the mob or a cartel movie. I'll watch every single one.
Oh, my God.
But what I want to know is, and if there's any mafia people out there, and I ask this with complete respect, and you know exactly where I'll be tonight, so please don't show up with a bat or anything. And I'm generally curious, why do you join the mafia and try to become the boss? Because it seems like all of them get killed or go to jail. Yeah. And a lot of them, according to documentaries, and again, not trying to offend anyone in the mafia here, because I know Philadelphia has a proud history, they all get killed by their own people. It's like some weird Shakespearean Roman tragedy every time. So it just seems like if you're like, I became the boss, so I'll probably be dead or in jail in 8 years, but I better enjoy it. Like, it just seems like a weird investment.
You're right. What is the pro side, what is the return? Because I think you can probably be mid-level and still do pretty well.
Right.
And not have the onus of having to run the thing.
But it seems like, the only thing I could compare it to is if I'm a stand-up comedian and I look at the average comedian, I'm like, most of them end up divorced, alone, and their careers peter out in their 40s or 50s.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm going to go for it. Like, maybe that's kind of what it is to be a – maybe it's like when you have sex without a condom. You're like, maybe I'll just squeak by. You know what I mean? It's sort of like – it's probably the same kind of delusion.
Can you say it's just the love of it?
It's the love of the game.
I just love the mafia.
You're probably also, though, if you're like, well, I've been a mafia henchman for 40 years. You know, not a lot of skills are going to be transferable to, like, a modern company. Better just kind of stick with what I know.
Right.
Real quick, I want to go to the details about this this mob hit because it is so – it is
classic.
So classic. It is, I mean, even down to a witness was on the ground crying, Papa, Papa.
He had spaghetti stains on his shirt. You know what I mean? Like, it just seems like it was straight at him.
Well, this is
he was
Whitey
getting
Bulger.
The paper in a boxer shorts and an old robe.
Yeah, so this guy, Frankie Boy, Frank Calley, was gunned down. He was shot 6 times in the chest by a gunman in a blue pickup truck, I think right outside of the guy's house. And apparently the gunman was hit by mobsters, and they just got out, and says a witness said there were like 6 shots, and then there were 3 more. The man was on the ground face up, his head was by his SUV, and the truck was open, and distraught family members rushed outside after the shooting, crying, Papa, Papa.
Oh, Jesus, so
yeah,
sad.
Isn't that wild?
It is, but
his last words were, forget about it. You're right. That is so on the nose. Like that was like a scene from like a Scorsese knockoff.
Yeah.
But it's so tragic and sad. And it's like, I saw that article and I started thinking all these old things. And then I started thinking and halfway through talking with you guys, but I'm like, God, that is like just like a dude's dad. Like, that's sad.
It is, but it's Shakespearean. And that's how it plays out all the time.
Yeah.
And they all fall by their own people. We've had people have chronicled the mob in here, and we've had – so in Philadelphia, the skinny Joe
Joey Marlino.
Jerry, right.
Yeah, talk about serial killer nicknames. These mob nicknames are awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
But they are stuck in time. This guy's name was Frankie Boy?
Frankie Boy.
I mean, that is like – that's so old school, right? Yep. That could have been like 1955.
The History Channel did a great series. I think it was the History Channel did a multi-tier – and they took down but they examined each family – and you see the tree and exactly the stories you're talking about the people who worked their way up and why would they work their way up.
But I'll tell you, it has not changed a lot because I don't want to say the name of the movie because it's not really my place to drop it. But there was like a big gangster movie that was shot recently, maybe 2 years ago, and it bombed big time. All right, whatever. I'm not going to confirm it tonight.
Yeah.
But what I heard from the guys who were outside, they said the reason it was a disaster was the mob was on set all the time, like making sure theoretically that they were getting it right, you know, and making them change stuff and just like doing like extortion stuff, like doing the classic, like they were just there.
Wow.
And they said it was like they couldn't believe it. It was like old school stuff.
Yeah.
And there was nothing they could really do about it.
Wow,
and again, I'm not saying it was Gotti, but it was a movie that wasn't dissimilar to Gotti.
Okay.
Didn't do well.
It didn't do well, and it might have starred
but
John
then again,
Travolta.
But, you know, honestly, I heard that from like a friend of a guy very closely involved. So I guess if I made a movie that bombed, I'd be like, So what happened? Was it your terrible script and directing?
Well, it was the mafia was involved.
You know, yeah, I mean, yeah, that's what it was. Yeah. Yeah, hey, Will Ferrell, what happened to that Sherlock Holmes movie? Mafia. Yeah. You know what I mean? Maybe you just blame it on them now that I think about it.
Apparently,
if I don't sell out my show tonight, I'm assuming it's mafia.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, there's more than one show. So Friday and Saturday, you can catch Mo at Punchline. Go to punchlinephilly.com. Get those tickets. Do you have two shows each night, I assume?
One tonight, one Friday, two Saturday.
Oh, two Saturday.
Yeah. Excellent.
You have a great weekend, by the way. You know, temperature-wise, it's going to be warm. People
it's
about
really nice.
Looking for things to do.
Cool. I know. I mean, I saw these ladies here. I was like, wow, they're not even wearing coats or shirts that cover their stomachs. You know, it's really, like, balmy out here.
Nice. All right, Mo, listen, enjoy your time in Philly. Thanks for coming by this morning.
Thanks a lot for having me, guys.
Mo Mandel. Yeah! We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Diamond jewelry doesn't have to be expensive. Have fun buying jewelry for someone you love and don't hate the price you pay. Feel the difference online at IHStevenSinger.com with free shipping or at the other corner of 8th and Walnut. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters. Why take a chance with anybody else?
Taking time for yourself isn't selfish, it's self-care. Schedule a massage or facial at your local Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa with a relaxing massage or refreshing facial for just $59.95 for first-time guests. Visit one of their 50 area locations or handandstone.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Sorry about the laugh, but I was watching on the hottie cam Amanda grab Bradley Cooper's junk.
Really?
Yes. For a moment.
Amanda's got a friend.
Yeah, they're all fighting over that.
By the way, I love their socks. You know what I mean?
I didn't even see the socks.
I know. I didn't notice them before, but they have these kind of knee highs that they're wearing with a little, I don't know, little ribbon on the side of it, something like that. I love their outfits.
Would I look good in that?
You would look phenomenal in that, Steve. So, by the way, I want to mention this because I've failed over the last few days to mention that we have new Daily Rush videos and a whole lot of them up. There's several. I like Turtles Kid All Grown Up. Prince Harry Needs Wendy's. I need to go check that one out. Mini Balboa is now up, and I was watching that last night. And then
how is it?
It's great. Yeah. And then I can't wait to see this one. This is the newest Daily Rush video. Kathy is either disgusted or turned on. Kathy makes a noise and the guys get their new favorite clip. Watch it now via PrestonandSteve.com, sponsored by Punchline Philly, Fishtown's newest comedy club, restaurant, and bar, just to give you a heads up on that. Hey, how about we give you guys a concert announcement?
Ooh.
Got some tunes ready, Case?
I do.
All right. So this is really cool. This show is going to be at the Wells Fargo Center, and the date of the show will be October 14th, a little ways off, but tickets will go on sale next Friday, a week from tomorrow, on the 22nd, and it's pretty cool because we just played music. MMR rocks the Black Keys at the Wells Fargo Center, and that two-man band looking to fill up that big building, which they've done before.
They have.
And they haven't had new music out in like 5 years. So pretty damn cool. And I tell you what, we're going to give away a pair of tickets right now. We'll take caller number 21 at 215-263-WMMR. And not only will you win some tickets to that show, but you will be qualified for the grand prize. And that is someone is going to get a trip for two to meet the band before their show in Sunrise, Florida this fall. Sunrise, Bill Weston was just in here. He said it's between, like, Fort Lauderdale and Miami.
It's where the Florida Panthers play.
Okay, perfect. And that includes tickets, airfare, and hotel. So call number 21. Not only do you get the tickets, you'll be registered for that grand prize. And the grand prize, we're going to get people registered all weekend long this weekend. It is a Black Keys weekend at MMR, featuring music throughout the programs, and we'll have a chance to win tickets and qualify for the grand prize. So,
man, you're talking, Preston, they have a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, they do, and they're just, it's just kind of fun, cool music.
Yeah,
you know,
that's what rock should be.
Great for a live show. So once again, MMR Rocks the Black Keys, October 14th at the Wells Fargo Center, and tickets will go on sale a week from tomorrow at 10 a.m. via WellsFargoCenterPhilly.com. So very cool. A lot of information to get out to you. Oh, man. We are going to have Christina Hendricks coming up in a little while, so we got some time to chit-chat before she gets on.
Yeah.
Today is one of the... There are certain days... I have no idea if you guys want to talk about this or not, but I just noticed it this morning. I guess I'm the noticer. I don't know.
Oh.
But I just noticed this morning...
The noticer's not sure if he's the noticer.
Well, I noticed that there are certain days when I can't do very basic things, and I'll give you an example. Like today... I have the inability to operate a stapler.
You cannot operate a stapler today.
Yes, I have tried, and every time that I go, you know, click the stapler, whatever you want to call it, only one of the staple sides go through, and the other half gets kind of crinkled up, and it does not adequately staple the paper.
Well, there are multiple methods of stapleology.
Yes.
So do you do the tap on the table? Do you hold it in your hands? And do the palm and fingers contracting?
I alternate. Usually one day or the other.
Okay.
I have a certain feeling. I do. There is a certain satisfaction when I lay the paper down and just go bang like
yep.
that, and hit it. And I will do it with a closed fist, and I will hit with
in defiance.
The opposite end of not where my thumb is, but where the pinky is, and
yeah.
bang, I do it that way. Usually at work, I pick it up. And I do the two-hand, the one-handed clack in one.
I find the clack, while dynamic in appearance, mm-hmm. is often fraught with danger.
And it, messing up the thing,
yeah. Do you have a stapler with you right now?
It's right over there.
Case. Okay.
Let me see if I can.
Let's take you to the paces. Let's see if we can help.
All right.
We need to record this, too, so we can slow-mo the footage and maybe help you with your swing.
This is not a very good stapler, by the way. You yeah. ever notice this case? It's
yep.
this one of the
springs. What is the top? A swing line?
The spring is shot. It does it. Yeah, this is a swing line.
Okay.
Even though this has been beat to death and the actual swing line logo is gone off of it, but that's generally the one you want to go with. So.
All right.
Marissa found another one.
Oh, there you go.
This is the one that I use. I think it's empty, Marissa. Hang on a second.
Well, yeah. There's your first problem.
That one's empty.
So things are probably gone. That's yeah. why they're not. The pages aren't staying together, Preston.
You need staples. Yesterday I had a moment where I use a stapler a lot for the bizarre file stories and all the other things that I bring in the noticer and the junk drawer. And day before yesterday, I was at home and I was stapling it, and I stapled, and I'm like, you know what? I haven't filled this up in a while. It's probably getting pretty low. Let me check. And I open it up.
Fill the stapler.
I open it up, and there was one
wow.
staple left in it. I was pretty proud of myself.
Did you chest bump anybody?
Someone was around, I would have chest bumped them. All right, let me try this. I'm going to do the one-hand right. thing here.
Well, that sounded bad, too.
See? No, it's perfect.
It looks good.
All right.
It looks great.
I think it's better when you have it down on the counter and you do that method. You just stepped it up, didn't you?
Oh, that's good.
Wow, yeah. You're good. Hey. Things are turning around, Preston.
Yeah.
You know what? It started off bad.
Hey!
Four perfect staples in a row. That was stupid. I don't even know why I brought it up to you guys.
Because, listen, there are things like that. Like today, you did what I did a couple days ago. You forgot your keys to get into the building.
I did. Steve called me the other day. Had gotten. At what point, when you leave the house, is it too late to turn back around and go get what you need?
For me, because I'm fanatical about being here on time halfway.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, I only live about
I'm surprised
in the morning
you
about,
get that far yeah. and decide to go back.
Because I'm leaving the house at about 4:30, so it takes me about 10 minutes to get here. So that's not bad.
I've not even gotten to the end of my street and realized I've forgotten something. I'm like,
And you say no?
Yeah.
I've got one stop sign.
Okay. And that's the point of no return.
Yeah, if I'm past that stop sign, I'm like, oh well.
Okay.
And I recognized I had not brought the keys with me the exact second I was getting out of the car in our mm-hmm. parking lot.
Yeah. I am so lazy that the second the door shuts behind me, it's like
Well,
damn
you don't
it.
Want to turn around and go back.
Case. Now I got to walk to work because I left my car keys in the house.
I told you last week or, you know, 2 or 3 weeks ago, I had forgotten my phone.
I can't believe you went as far as you did, dude.
Also, I made it to Conchie, Kathy, because I take the Blue Route.
Oh, wow.
But that's the only place where I can. I got on the Blue Route North. The first place I can turn around is the Conshohocken exit. So, but I had the debate in between getting on the Blue Route and getting off. Do I turn around and go home?
That's pretty far. I take back my comment then that you're not addicted to your phone.
Well,
you couldn't go.
No, you are.
Even I've left my phone home if I'm past that stop sign. Yep.
Okay.
I'm leaving it.
Maybe I should have.
I've done that. I think, Casey, have you ever been in bed and figured that today I bet you I'm going to forget my keys?
Yeah.
And then call to tell everyone.
Yeah.
Guys, I forgot my keys. I can't make it in.
I think I'm
going to
forget my keys. I can't make it in.
I can't make it into work today, guys. I'm so sorry.
Oh, my God. Well, yeah, so I forgot my, I left mine at home today, so I had to give Steve a call when I got here.
But those sort of things are, you know, and you're like, oh, is this indicative of the way the rest of the day is going to go?
It can be sometimes.
Is my staple thing going to be okay?
Well, right. Listen, you know, I took my dog for a walk this morning, and I probably should have started with, hey, I bought new sneakers yesterday. And so when I was taking my dog for a walk this morning, my socks... Oh, and by the way, brand new socks, too. So I'm like,
take us back to the sock purchase.
Because the socks came after the sneakers. So I bought sneakers and then I bought socks.
My mother was 9 months pregnant. And then I came out.
So but I'm walking my dog and my socks started falling down around my feet. And I was like, oh no. Did I buy the wrong sneakers yesterday?
You think you bought the wrong size sneakers?
No.
Because
just the wrong sneakers, like sneakers that weren't, because in the store they felt okay. I walked around the house and they felt okay.
Wait, why would your socks indicate that you got the wrong sneakers?
Because they weren't tight enough around the ankle.
So that's the right, you're looking for the right size.
That's the right socks, but not the, why would you think your shoes?
Can you show me the right sneakers? I don't want to see your wrong sneakers.
Yeah. But does that ever happen to you guys where, because do you wear ankle socks? Because this doesn't happen when you have like...
I do when I'm wearing long pants, and you mean ankle socks? Wait a minute.
Just up above
your ankle. I wear those usually when I wear shorts, but sometimes I will wear them when I wear long pants. But anyway.
But I got like a little bit discouraged because I had already walked with these shoes outside, and...
Were they high heels or sneakers?
They are definitely sneakers.
Okay.
But does that ever happen to you guys where your socks will, or at least the ankle socks will... work themselves down into the middle of your feet, or my
the middle of your feet?
Literally the middle of my feet.
You need new socks.
You need longer socks.
The elastic's busted. No?
You know what?
Did you not hear me? They're brand new socks.
I thought they were brand new shoes.
No.
I gotta admit, I thought that too.
Yeah. No, I remember I went back in time.
All right, so I have a way to fix it.
I'm not following.
Staple them to your ankles.
Yeah. Right.
Never mind. I'm checking out of this conversation.
No. Hang on, Casey. Yes. So sometimes I've had it happen before, but not regularly. That happens to you regularly where your ankle socks will slip all the way down into your shoe.
Son of a bitch, it's happened again.
No, but it does happen. Okay. It does happen from time to time. It happens, and it happened to me this morning, fresh after buying brand new socks and sneakers, and I was like, oh,
Preston,
no.
There's only been a handful of times when an atomic bomb has been exploded in a major city.
Yeah.
Doesn't make it any less worse.
That's true. I didn't even think about that. Hang on a second. Let me go to Chris. This is interesting. Hi. Good morning, Chris. You're on the air.
Walker told me I have AIDS.
Walker told you I had AIDS?
Sorry to hear that. But what'd you want to tell us, man?
All right, I think this is the ultimate in lazy. I'll leave my insulin or syringes at work. Sometimes I'm diabetic.
Yeah.
And I'll get home at night, and I'll sit there for a few minutes, and I'll debate, like, do I really need to eat the rest of the night?
you will bypass eating because you don't want to go back to work and get your insulin?
Yes. I mean, it's only a five-minute drive back. But it's just, I'm that bad.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. That's a level of which
my heart medication's back at work.
Yeah. Because that could kill you, man.
Yeah.
All right.
Why don't you have a backup insulin situation at home?
I just started doing that recently.
Okay. That's a good call. All right. See you later. I've become, Steve, a backup kind of guy. Like, I don't think I was this way years ago, but I like to have... backup system set up, ready to go. If there's something that I need at home and at work, I'll have it at both home and at work.
I do. I have the adapters, you know, for stuff here and at home.
Yeah.
Even like with my travel bag today, I have toiletries and everything.
I'm really into being prepared now. It's very strange. I didn't used to be that way.
So, Steve, that's what I was going to ask about, the toiletries. When you purchase the toiletries, or do you get, you know, the two sticks of deodorant, toothpaste, that kind of a thing?
The whole damn deal. I even bought a second Quip.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Okay. I also got this great thing. My wife saw it, I think, online, and it's a travel, she says, we're flying today, it's a travel checklist.
Yeah.
Of things to take with you.
Right.
So you don't forget anything.
Yeah.
Because you can pack stuff and think that you packed, or did I remember to do that? This is actually, and Kathy, you're really organized, so you would love this too.
I have a list.
But it's I'll have to show it to you.
Uh-huh.
Did you buy it?
No. I have like my own.
Yeah. See, I don't write down a list. There's like 100 things on this
that
list.
You would...
And you go through and I highlight everything that I'll need.
Uh-huh.
And then as I'm packing it, I check it off the list.
I love it. Yeah, it's great.
Awesome. And I started doing that on like Tuesday night, and I sent a picture to Marissa because Marissa is probably going to pack in a couple hours.
When we get to Florida, she'll pack. Yeah.
No, she said already this morning that she packed last night.
Okay. Which is like proud of her. Really early for
that
her.
It is rare. Yeah, exactly. She would love it.
Having the matching set of stuff just always in the bag,
mm-hmm.
it makes a difference.
I'm that way sometimes, but for this trip, I'm like, well, we're just going to Florida. Like, if I need something.
What if they don't take American currency, though,
Miss? Yeah,
totally. No, but I totally understand that mentality. But then I'll also switch back, and I'm like, you know what? If I need an extra T-shirt, I'll buy one down there.
Yeah.
That's
what?
Yeah, they sell them.
When did they get shirt stores?
Yeah, well, Florida's evolved.
Listen, I'm only taking a carry-on, so I can't bring a razor, so...
I'm stopping.
So Disco Bush.
I might have Disco Bush at the pool.
Kath, I'm stopped because I don't feel like messing with any of the any of the restrictions. So like,
yeah.
I'm going to CVS. I'm getting my sunblock. I'm getting a little toothpaste. And
I got sunblock.
I'm checking a bag. In fact, more consistently now than ever, I just checked rather than avoid. You know. That's why the way Pierre travels just blows my mind.
I wouldn't be able to function.
No. Forget it.
I wrote down Disco Bush at the Pool as a band name.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a great name.
Disco Bush at the Pool.
We'll be leaving this afternoon and be broadcasting from Clearwater tomorrow. So we will we'll definitely be having some fun relaying all the stuff that we experienced.
Do you think there's any chance, and I know this is kind of crazy, that one of us will be asked to join the team?
Listen, weirder things have happened.
Yeah.
So
never know.
Maybe.
You might get to throw out another first pitch or something like that. You had that last year.
Yeah, Preston had a surprise. Catch with Gabe Kapler last year.
How cool is that? That footage is awesome.
Yeah, I was pretty excited about it. A couple other things that I wanted to mention, and I wanted to get to this before the story gets too far away. Oh, yeah, I did notice this.
More from the noticer is noticing things, but he wasn't sure he was the noticer, but apparently now he is.
With the cheating scandal in the universities that broke yesterday, and we talked about at length.
Yes.
Here's a story on the opposite side of things. There's a guy named Michael Love. He's a senior in high school in Detroit, and he applied for more than 50 schools next year. Not only do most of them want him, many are offering to foot the bill. He got accepted in, I think, 44 colleges.
44 colleges.
Yeah. A little genius? Or?
Over $300,000. Over $300. $300,000 in scholarships.
We will give you $300 if you come to our school.
He's National Honor Society, varsity basketball, and all that good stuff. But he's not, I don't think he's like, you know, a genius, that kind of brilliant, Kathy. He's just a really driven, good kid.
Yeah.
You've talked about stories where I think there's local. There was somebody who applied to all the Ivy League schools and got accepted to all of them with scholarships.
Yeah, that's right.
How much did that process cost, though? Because it's not cheap to apply for schools.
Is it like $200? What does it cost on average?
I mean, I don't know what it is for Harvard, but the more prestigious the school often, the more pricey the application process.
They didn't indicate that in the story. They did just say, they said it took a long time to get all the applications sent out because he's also got an after-school job. His mother said, I thought he was crazy when he told me that he was applying to so many schools. And then the letters started coming in one after another after another. Michael wants to be an aerospace engineer. Says he struggled academically in the beginning of high school, and then eventually he got it together and ended up becoming a really good, a model student. And probably he won't be paying off any student loans because some of the letters came with a full ride scholarship.
Yeah, go to that one.
Wow.
There's your choice.
Honestly, with the way these schools, the cost, forget about it.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. So that's a great story. I thought that was worth passing along. I also noticed,
more for the noser.
Yeah. I noticed that I get up to pee a lot in the middle of the night.
You get up to pee a lot during the night?
Yeah. Usually three times at least.
Do you have an enlarged prostate?
Not according to Dr. Mike, and not to quote Fletch, it's not from a lack of looking.
Okay,
Because we've been down that path. He's been down that dirt road a few times.
He's had his finger in your butt.
He has. Yep. He's a doctor. It's what he does. And my prostate is okay.
Oh, you're a doctor?
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? I would continue on with this, but I wasn't expecting our next guest to be on the line ready to go.
Well,
right
I want to revisit this.
Okay,
but obviously we want to talk to her because she's awesome.
Oh, and I'm sure she appreciates me talking about my prostate before going to her.
You were trying to kill time.
I was, and I apologize. But, yes, we will bring on our next guest. Good Girl Season 2, Sundays on NBC is where you see this. And, you know, obviously she's been in some great things, most notably Mad Men.
Yes.
But we would like to welcome to our show Christina Hendricks.
Yeah.
Hi, Christina.
Hi, good morning.
Hi. Oh, it's, hopefully you didn't hear me talking about my prostate right before we came to you.
I did.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that.
Yeah, you know, it happens. Hey, well, listen. Congratulations. You know, the second season is coming up. How much it looks like a fun show to work on. I mean, it's got elements of drama, but it's got elements of comedy. So I'm sure you guys have a blast on the set.
We do. I get to work with the most incredible people, Retta, Mae Whitman, Matt Lillard, Rena Wilson. I mean, it's just like an extraordinary cast, and we get a lot of laughs on set, I have to say.
Well, you know, I'm going to be honest. I recorded all the episodes because I want to get to watch the show. I watched the first episode, my wife and I, and we love the series. You know, in these days, you get bombarded with so much, and you start to accrue these things on your DVR. So initially when I saw it, it appeared to me to kind of have a Coen Brothers sensibility. So, you know, there's some humor, there's some drama. And why don't you explain the conceit of the show for people who are unfamiliar with Good Girls?
It is about three women in the Midwest who are mothers, sisters, best friends, wives, and they're sort of going about their lives on autopilot and feel like they've got everything under control to a certain extent, and then they sort of find out that they're financially in trouble for various different reasons. And they need to do something to save their family. So they rob a grocery store.
They rent like a regular supermarket.
Problem. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, obviously a ridiculous idea, but they think they can go in, get this money, take care of their financial issues. And, of course, things go very, very poorly, and they fall into this life of crime.
Well, during the commission of the crime, they're sort of noticed, and your husband, played by Matthew Lillard, who we're fans of, we had in the studio. He makes some bad business moves, and he's also cheating on you, and you're completely unaware, and so all this stuff is coming down on you. So while you're brought to this point of desperation, you also have people. Ruby Hill from Parks and Rec and Rena Wilson, all these people are just naturally comedically adept. So it adds that funny edge on it. The shows that do this and do this well can take you to the point where sometimes it can get very dramatic and then it gets pulled back with some humor. Do you like that sort of dynamic for a show?
That was one of the reasons that drew me to it because I wasn't sure what I was watching. I hadn't seen anything in this exact tone before. And you're right, it's got that quirky kind of Coen Brothers feel, and we do play it like a drama, and it does get really emotional. I have friends who call and say they were sobbing at the end of it. But these characters are just kind of quirky, weird characters, and they're not great at what they do. So it becomes sort of a hilarious thing watching them try to be serious and get away with these just surreal situations. So you find yourself laughing out loud, and then you're like, "But this is kind of dark." And this is kind of
weird. Yeah, I like that. I like that. That's what initially drew me to it. I like things that sort of get, because there is humor even in the most desperate of times, and that's that appeals to me. As a viewer. Now, the creator of the show is Jenna Banz. Is that her name?
That's her name, yeah.
Yeah, and she's from the Shonda Rhimes camp, is she not?
She comes from that, although this tone is so entirely different, you'd almost never know.
Okay.
I think she's been trying to have her own voice for a really, really long time. And
right.
She's this really smart, amazing weirdo. So she created a show that's smart and weird, and
we're just really proud of it. We just think it's really different and unique, and we're hoping people will check it out.
Doing some reading on you, Christina, you I guess when you were younger, you entered a contest for, was it maybe 17 magazine to appear on the cover, became a model. Was it in your mind always to become an actress and to use the modeling perhaps as a stepping stone? Or what was the genesis of all that?
Absolutely. Well, I had been doing community theater since I was about 9 years old. And I was a ballet dancer as well. And I'd always wanted to perform. And my mom wanted to enter me into that modeling contest. And it what it did was get me to New York City, which was closer to sort of where I wanted to be, and got me traveling around the world and eventually brought me to Los Angeles. So it was the right route, if not a little bit off path, but it was fun.
Do you remember your first community theater show and what that was?
Of course I do. The very first thing I did was the best Christmas pageant ever.
The best Christmas pageant ever.
Yes. Yes. And then Bye Bye Birdie was my second one.
Ah, classic.
Well, it's good stuff. So I assume you were the Anne Margaret, right? You weren't Birdie for sure.
You would assume that, but I was only 9 years old, remember?
Oh, damn it.
I was in the chorus.
Okay.
I was in the chorus looking up to the big kids who had the big roles.
All right.
I was very excited.
Because you're definitely Anne Margaret-esque. And I'd say this, it's got to be wild because you've been playing characters that are, I mean, even on Mad Men, which was such a revelation that they took this character that could have gone, you know, this character of Joan that could have been sort of a cookie cutter, and she became one of the most dynamic, multifaceted characters of the series. And I mean, that has to be incredibly rewarding as an actress to get something like that.
It was beyond what any of us could have imagined. We knew we were doing a cool show with great scripts, but we didn't know if anyone was ever going to watch it or find us, and it just turned into a phenomenon, and it was such a joy to work on, and that character was, she was everything. I miss her every day.
So out of, you know, Mad Men is often cited, like with Breaking Bad and some other shows, as the binge shows. What would you say right now is your most binge-worthy show?
Oh, my goodness. Well, there's, like you said, there's so much content out there. I really love a show called Fleabag, a British show that came out about 2 years ago. But you can stream it. I think that is fantastic.
Right.
I'm super into Broad City. I think Broad City is absolutely hilarious. Gosh, what else have I been?
Casey's been telling us about this Netflix series that you're on.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it started on Netflix, but Happen Leonard is something that just kind of popped up in my queue. I'm like, all right, let me give this a shot, and I'm really enjoying it. And I think you're great in it. But where did that show start? What channel?
That was on Sundance. It was affiliated with AMC, and that was something I did almost immediately after Mad Men. So I probably did that 3 years ago. And there's several seasons, but things just pop up. It's like Good Girls is an NBC show, but a lot of people discovered it on Netflix.
Okay.
And it's also on Hulu. Mm-hmm. So things are just sort of popping up all over the place.
It's hard to keep
track. It's
too
much to keep track of, but this is definitely in our wheelhouse. Yeah.
Good Girls, the second season, is you can catch it on Sundays at 10 on NBC, so make sure you don't miss it. We're just happy that you're having fun and having another successful show here, Christina. So continued success.
Thanks so much.
And we'll catch you another time, okay?
All right, guys. Take care.
Thanks. So Christina Hendricks, guys.
Yes.
Nice. So back to me peeing at night.
Yes, please. Oh, you're enlarged prostate. No. Which isn't enlarged.
No, not that I can tell.
No.
Anyway, I'll bring up this little bit, this little tidbit, this little leftover noticer thing. And then
give us some of that tid.
To take a break. Here's the tid on the bit. people who use the bathroom multiple times throughout the night cost the U.S. economy $45 billion annually.
You son of a bitch.
Look what you've done.
Look what you've done to us.
It's because of the sleep disruption, and it leaves them more tired and sick than their peers.
So
this is let me preface this by saying this was a study that was funded by a drug company that makes a drug to treat the condition of having to pee all night.
Yeah. I'm a little suspect now.
Some 40 million adults in the U.S. suffer so-called nocturia, which I never heard before.
Yeah, it's term. A great Dutch band.
Nocturia.
We are nocturia!
Including 27.5 million members of the workforce. And the causes of the urge range from simple behaviors like drinking too much water, caffeine or alcohol close to bedtime, to urinary tract infections or issues like an enlarged prostate for men or HRT drugs for women.
The mistake I used to make is I would drink 2 gallons of iced tea and I would go to sleep in about an inch of water.
That's
and that made me pee a lot. But I'll tell you this, and this might help you, Preston.
Please.
Just randomly volunteer to have your prostate removed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I took the cancer out. I go less. I still go a couple times.
I am conscious of the latter part of the day of my fluid intake.
Yeah.
I will squeeze out as much urine as I can right before I go to bed just to avoid it. And I still get up like 3 times a night. And it sucks because it does interrupt your sleep.
Do you ever wake up and say, why did I wake up now? And then you need a few seconds to say, oh, I have to piss.
Yeah, yeah.
But why is that never the case for taking a dump?
Mm,
why doesn't a dump make you...
That never happens in the middle of the night.
Right.
Ever.
I got to take up... I got to get up and poop.
Yeah.
I
mean,
unless it's like diarrhea.
Well,
yeah, if you're sick.
That's
yeah.
If sick. You know. I am but, sick. I have diarrhea.
All right, here's a stupid question.
Joe, I can't come in today because I'm sick. I have diarrhea. I'm going to miss my workout.
All right, Matt. Thanks for calling.
All right, thank you. Love you.
There's there's like an old person commercial where like, hey, do you cath? You know, are people putting
is that actually cool now?
Do you cath?
He's cathing, man. Sticking a hose in his dong. He's totally cathing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they're saying cath.
Wow.
I wonder if that's, are they? Is it a catheter?
Yeah.
And are they, can you just do that press before you go to bed? That way you don't have to wake
it's
up.
It's not painful at all.
No, not
just
at
jam
all.
A hose in your dong.
Shove a tube up your urethra.
You'll sleep great.
Listen, I'm totally interested in cathing. Can you recommend one?
Oh, my God.
Well, I would love it if it had a picture of the dead on the side.
I figure maybe if you do it long enough.
The hole is so big you can just stick your whole hand in.
No, you just get sort of used to it. It's like, you know, people who have to administer insulin all the time.
If you watch any news channels, they have tons of that. I get my catheter equipment sent to the home, and it comes in this little box, and it's easy to insert.
Steve, so you do it enough, and eventually the hole's big enough? Is that what you...
No.
So I'm a gaper at that
point? I'm a gaper, yeah. I would tell you this, Johnny Knoxville... I was reading an interview with him, and he had an injury where he had to use a catheter for about a year and a half, 2 years. Since you don't need to use it, maybe just don't drink before you go to bed.
Have you guys ever had one?
I did. No. After the surgery, after the prostate removal, I had a catheter in for a couple of days. They put it in while I was under, so I didn't feel that. And
when
then
they
what they
out?
Did, yeah, all they did is they did this thing, and it was cute. You've seen it on AFP. They attached one end of the catheter to a doorknob, and then they slammed it shut.
I thought you were going to say, one guy holds it and puts his leg on his foot on your stomach.
Right,
and
pulls.
Do you recall if it hurt when they took it out?
Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. There was a little bit of pressure for like a nanosecond, and that was it.
Man, the camera up there, that was something else. That like when they
Polaroid
were exploring my, it was a little digital hose camera, and they were exploring my kidneys, and it just was.
Could you feel it?
Oh, my God.
Was it painful?
No.
Yeah, just weird. Right?
Weird. Yeah, because once they get past the entrance.
Yeah.
Pee hole.
Oh, my.
There's no real nerve. Endings that would indicate pain.
Wow.
Okay. So, but you feel it, and that's odd.
By the way, in this study, aging also increases the likelihood of nocturia because the body's production of the hormone that concentrates urine starts to slow down. So, anyhow, it's costing the U.S. $45 billion annually. I think it's a slightly inflated number.
No, it wouldn't have anything to do with the fact that the company that came up with this data makes something to stop you peeing during the night.
All right, I have been told that I need to stop noticing, and so I'm going to stop that.
Notice has been told to shut up.
And what I am going to do is I'm going to give you something for tuning in this morning. The ladies of the Tilt the Kilt are here this morning from Sicklerville.
They're wonderful.
Sicklerville.
Sicklerville. Okay, I have to pee.
And I have a $50 gift certificate to give away.
A good 50% of them are awake right now.
Do we have sleeping girls?
Sleeping tilted kilters?
All right, we'll take caller number...
They really are tilted now.
Caller number 8 at 215-263-WMMR, and we are going to set you up with this. Don't forget, big St. Patrick's Day celebrations going on this weekend at this tilted kilt in Sicklerville. And Brent Porsche broadcasting live there from 3 to 7 on Saturday. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
Friday, March 15th, the Preston and Steve Show will broadcast live from Philly's spring training.
We got uniforms and everything. It's really great.
They'll be talking more than just bases and balls. Scheduled guests include Coach Gabe Kapler, Charlie Manuel, Reese Hoskins, and more. For MMR fans flocking south to Clearwater, meet up with the show after their broadcast at Frenchie's Tiki Pavilion in left field. Then catch the Phils and the Blue Jays. Tickets available at Phillies.com. Preston and Steve live from Philly's spring training, sponsored by Xfinity. Stay connected during the biggest moments of every game with Xfinity Internet and 93.3 WMMR. WMMR. Everything that rocks.
We have an emoji code set up. This is your chance to win Dunkin' Iced Coffee for an entire year. And all you have to do, and I'm going to tell you now, very shortly, we're going to look for a winner. So you're going to need to go take a look at the emojis that Casey's put together in a series. And if you can identify the phrase that those emojis spell out, and you're a designated caller in a little while when we tell you to call in, then you can win iced coffee for a year from Dunkin'. Pretty sweet deal. So do that now. While you are getting set to do that, you can also call in because I'm going to give away the last $50 gift card to the Tilted Kilt. $50 for you. 215-263-WMMR. Caller 18, yours. And you can join Brent Porsche for a St. Patrick's Day pre-party and a live broadcast, which is going to be Saturday, 3 to 7 p.m. at the Tilted Kilt in Sicklerville. And there will be concert tickets that Brent's going to be giving away every hour, including Fleetwood Mac, Foles, Slayer, and Dead & Company. So pretty much for any musical taste.
It can be whatever you want.
I got you covered. So let's do the Bizarre Five.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by Delilah's. Delilah's presents the 2019 Entertainer of the Year, Wednesday, March 20th, with special guest host Simone. Oh, my God. I should have read this ahead of time. Dana Lustros.
Dana Delaney?
Nope. It's spelled, it's all one word.
All right.
And it says, oh, here you go. There's a pronunciation. Dan Illustrious. There you go.
All right.
Visit Delilahs.com for details. Sorry. I should read these ahead of time.
It's a mouthful, that name, though.
Let's get to this story. A family in Florida says that they went to a funeral home expecting to pay their final respects to a loved one, but instead they were met with a troubling twist, and their loved one's body is missing. Miss Norman Newman's family believed that they would be saying their goodbyes to her at Roy Mitzel and Kurt's funeral home in Fort Lauderdale. And according to Kunitha Webster, Newman's sister, she said, I went up to view her body and said, nope, this is not my sister. This is somebody we do not know.
It's a dude.
We did not know the person that was lying in the casket. They were certain, they say, because something was missing. Her niece, Suzette, said, we asked them about the mole on our aunt's face. They said they covered it up with makeup. There was no mole there, you know? She said they makeup couldn't cover it because it was, like, kind of protruding out of her face.
Like a big old mole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Other physical characteristics, they say, just didn't add up.
We shaved it off.
She said at this point.
We took a wood planer to it.
Said, we don't know where my aunt's body is. We don't know. We came here to mourn.
It's horrible.
Lost my aunt, and this is what we get. And nobody is taking ownership. We do not know.
Well, somebody else has the wrong body then as well, right?
The family says the funeral home employees acknowledged that something was wrong.
Yeah.
And then 3 days later, they're still investigating, and they don't know where the body is. It's very hard. We all need comfort from it, her niece said. So they're trying to figure out what the hell happened. That's just bizarre how that can occur. Here's another story. A woman is charged with arson after deputies say she tried to kill bed bugs with a lighter. The fire started at an apartment, and deputies say 39-year-old Jacqueline Lynch used a lighter to kill a bed bug after her uncle sprayed the house with alcohol.
You know what? Before you do this, log on to a website and see how the professionals do it and see how many professionals use lighters and flamethrowers.
Yeah, Lynch caught a mattress on fire and activated the sprinkler system in the apartment complex. Several apartments were damaged, but no one was hurt. She's due to appear in court at a later date to answer the charges. This is a horrible story. Farm accidents can be pretty brutal. One man is dead after such an accident. Emergency crews were called Monday night for a report of a man who became entangled in an auger attached to a farm tractor. If you don't know what an auger is, it's almost like a giant drill or a screw.
Yeah.
And the guy's name was Jacob Frucci. He was attempting to auger holes into the frozen ground near a sheep barn to relieve flooding from the melting snow when his thick clothing got caught by the auger. And his wife found him. Yeah.
I mean, he had to have been ripped apart.
I'm not sure exactly what happened. Or sometimes it could just tie up clothing and asphyxiate you.
Yeah.
When the emergency crews arrived on the scene, the tractor and auger were still running. He was pronounced dead at the scene. Terrible, terrible story. An unusual crime wave is sweeping through Fresno County. More than 60 goats have gone missing in the last 2 months. That's valued at over $27,000. There have been several cases of goat theft since January 7th in an area spanning less than 20 miles. And investigators think the thieves are making their move at night when they're not likely to be spotted and rounding up the animals in the trucks.
Nocturnal goat thieves.
The area typically sees a few livestock thefts each year, but 61 animals in 2 months.
That's crazy.
Highly unusual. So they're having a run.
Do they believe they're like resold, or
that's a good question.
Is there a goat black market?
They haven't indicated that, but they're certainly being lifted, so I don't know. A pilot on a Mesa Airlines flight to Houston surprised passengers with free lunch amid an hours-long flight delay on Monday. We had a guy, Kathy, a little while back, a pilot who bought pizzas for everybody.
Yeah.
This guy bought hamburgers for the entire nice. Plane, which I thought was pretty cool. It was operated by United Express. And
I want pizza.
Somebody tweeted out, our captain, Matthew, just ordered every single person on the plane lunch from Fat Guy's Burger Bar. He wrote, good people and customer service still do exist. The flight had left 4 hours and 41 minutes late.
Oh, my God.
And it arrived 5 hours and 3 minutes late. So the guy figured he'd offer that up.
That's traveling. I hope this does. I hope we're not eating burgers in a plane.
Seriously.
I don't know. Casey, I thought you were about to maybe say, man, I hope our plane's late today.
I could use a burger. As long as it's not fast food.
Yeah. That's true. Casey is giving up fast food for Lent. And then one last story. How about this? I don't know if you guys got this story or not, but on February 11th, this woman had a ridiculous run of luck. Deborah Brown, the Richmond resident, won the Virginia lottery 30 times that day after she bought 30 pick four tickets with the exact same combination of 1031. She initially bought 20 tickets with that combination at a gas station. She said, a couple of times during the day, I saw those numbers. And so later that day, she bought 10 more tickets at the same location with the same numbers. The top four prize pick is for a $1 play is $5,000. So she won that 30 times and got $150,000.
So you can play? I guess you could.
For those smaller ones, for those pick threes and things like
right.
That have a defined prize, not necessarily what the total is, you know, like Powerball and Pennsylvania Lottery, it accrues.
Right,
but some that are just like, you know, you win $1,000, you win $10,000. It was one of those that
that's
won
wild.
30 of them.
150 grand?
Yeah, she said, I nearly had a heart attack. The odds of matching all four numbers in order are 1 in 10,000. Brown has no immediate plans for her winnings, but she said she's considering...
She's going to buy an auger.
...renovating her home. And there you go. That's what I have for you in this morning's Bizarre File. Why don't we take one more break and let's try the emoji code out. Kathy, what number sounds good for a caller?
How about 9?
Caller number 9, 215-263-WMMR. You got to know what the emoji code says.
That was my roller coaster reel. It fell over.
Oh, I heard something. what's your roller coaster? Oh, from Maury's. Like, what the hell is that noise?
It's my luck roller coaster.
215-263-WMMR is the number. Let's see if you can figure out the emoji code. We'll come back with that caller. And we also have lesson question and more when we get back.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
We are excited because we are traveling today and on our way
to the one and only Clearwater, Florida for spring training with the Phils, and we will bring you all that stuff. Thank you to Xfinity for being our sponsor. We're excited about the support, so we appreciate that. And we're excited about taking this phone call because we need somebody to decipher to, what's the word? Crack the code, I guess.
Crack the code.
The emoji code that we were going after. So, Casey put together this string of emojis. It's a phrase, and Case, I will need you to officially verify whether this person gets it right or not, okay? And up for grabs is an entire year of Dunkin' Iced Coffee. So I'm going to go to Fred, see if we can get the answer. Hey, Fred, good morning.
Well, good morning, gentlemen and ladies. How are y'all doing?
We are doing wonderful. We'd love to set you up with a year of free iced coffee from Dunkin' Donuts, and you just need to tell us what the emoji code is. You ready, Casey?
Yes, I am.
Okay, go right ahead. Fred, what is it?
Preston and Steve run on Dunkin' Donuts.
Yes, that's right. That means you're right, by the way. Means you win. And, Fred, since you got that, man, congratulations. We have free iced coffee for a year from Dunkin'. All right, buddy?
Great day in the morning.
Damn right. All right, hang on the line. We'll get all your information. And don't forget, Dunkin' has $2 medium iced coffee all day long. Make all of March as fun as St. Patrick's Day with Irish cream coffee and mint brownie donuts, and America runs on Dunkin'. So it's just that easy.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Gave that away. We are now going to give something else away. We're going to do today's lesson question. And let's see. We have a four-pack of tickets for BrickFest Live. It's a Lego fan experience event at Greater Philadelphia Expo Center, April 27th through the 28th. So let me see here. I did not take a chance. I didn't look at this. Let's go with this. Which singer will be making, oh, this is going to be hard. Which singer will be making a guest appearance on the upcoming season of Game of Thrones? Wow.
Huh.
Wow.
Do you want to give the
They'll be singing hint? Lady in Red.
There you go.
Oh,
you go.
Wow.
What singer will be making a guest appearance on the upcoming season of Game of Thrones singing Lady in Red? 215-263-WMMR.
That is hard.
Yeah, it's from early this morning, too. It was right around 7 a.m. So if you know, give us a call. And we're going to do the trash while you're calling him.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you this morning by Dunkin'. You're in luck. Dunkin' has $2 medium iced coffee all day long. Plus, celebrate St. Patrick's Day throughout March with Dunkin's delicious Irish cream coffee. America runs on Dunkin', excludes cold brew. Participation may vary. And it's a limited-time offer. What's going on, Steve?
Well, 1989 security cam footage from a mall store has surfaced showing a disguised Michael Jackson buying jewelry for an 11-year-old Jimmy Safechuck. Clerks at the store immediately became suspicious of Jackson after he borrowed a staple gun to reattach his nose.
Oh, my God.
Jose Canseco's ex-wife, Jessica Canseco, denying his claims that she's hooking up with Alex Rodriguez. Jessica released a statement saying, Jose is so stupid, I once saw him burn his face trying to answer an iron.
Oh, my God.
He's just
God.
So dumb. And finally, Rick Singer, the man behind the massive college bribery case involving Felicity Huffman and Lori Loughlin, once recorded a video pitch for his own reality show. Unfortunately for Singer, no network wanted to go for his show called America's Next Top Wire Fraud Felon. That's your Hollywood trash.
All right, we'll go to the phones and see if somebody knows the answer to this. What singer will be making a guest appearance in the upcoming season of Game of Thrones? And I will go to Gary. Hi, Gary. Good morning.
Hey, morning, guys.
All right, Gary, you know the answer?
Josie.
Josie.
Josie. Yeah. I don't even know what that means.
Josie is a Steely Dan song.
Yeah, sorry. That was the secret text word yesterday.
Thank you, Gary.
Is it Mark Shishelman?
We'll go next to Paul. Hey, Paul, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, Paul, so who will be making a guest appearance in the upcoming season of Game of Thrones?
That would be Christy Bird.
Christy Bird.
The legendary.
Singer of The Lady in Red.
And Don't Pay the Ferryman, right?
That's the other song he had. Yeah, that's correct.
So. Did Julio do it as well?
He did.
Okay.
Lady in Red.
Who did it?
Julio Iglesias.
Is dancing with me.
Never seen you looking so lovely as you did tonight.
I never seen you shine so bright. You were amazing.
So Paul got himself a 4-pack of tickets to Breakfast Live, Lego Fan Experience at Greater Philadelphia Expo Center. It's April 27th to 28th, over a million Lego bricks on display and ready for play. Breakfast is filled with hands-on attractions and activities engineered to inspire, educate, and entertain. You can get tickets at BreakfastLive.com. Let's do the music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! And I got some stories for y'all. We'll get right into them and begin with Ghost Mastermind. Tobias Forge has said in a new interview that his current stage persona, Cardinalcopia, has a very good chance of sticking around for the band's next studio album. He said, right now, if everything goes according to the plan, we are hoping for Cardi to be strong enough and cool enough to possibly do something that none of the previous ones have done, and that's basically do two cycles.
He's going to do two cycles.
Each of the other ones have you've sort of met when they've all their thing. Not even I liked him to begin with. But now I can't wait to see him hopefully accomplish these things. And I really look forward to possibly seeing him in the skull paint and real papal attire. Oh, so he might ascend to, he's a cardinal.
He might be the Pope.
He might ascend to a Pope. Yeah. Forge recently told Billboard that he is already focusing on the band's next recording project, which he plans to be in the studio at the beginning of next year and a release later that year. I like this. I approve. Nine Inch Nails main man Trent Reznor will induct The Cure into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Wow.
Yeah, it was announced yesterday. Other presenters will include Queen's Brian May for Def Leppard, David Byrne for Radiohead. Those are all really good.
Yes.
Harry Styles for Stevie Nicks. Interesting.
I'm not so sure about that one.
Janelle Monáe for Janet Jackson. The Bengals, Susanna Hoffs for The Zombies.
They've been friends for a really long time, apparently.
No kidding.
Yeah, and so they were like, they asked her to do it, not as a fellow musician, but as a friend.
I like her a lot. There are a few Bengals songs that...
Fanny Monday?
That I really... No, there's one in particular called The Hero Takes a Fall.
Great song.
That I absolutely love. And they've done some really cool versions of other songs. In fact, she does a version of Your Bird Can Sing by the Beatles with Matthew Sweet. That's really, really good.
Was that on I Am Sam soundtrack?
You know what? I don't know. It's a good question. And also, Duran Duran's John Taylor and Simon Le Bon are going to be inducting Roxy Music. Nine Inch Nails itself was nominated in 2016, but was not inducted and has not made the final cut for the past 3 years either. The ceremony will take place at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York on March 29th. Details on performances have not been made public, but Def Leppard, Stevie Nicks, The Zombies, and Roxy Music are all expected to perform.
Nine Inch Nails getting some extra traction because Captain Marvel wears a Nine Inch Nails t-shirt in the movie.
Radiohead's Tom York has indicated that he will not attend due to a prior commitment, although other members of the band might attend. Did you find it, Nick?
It was not on that soundtrack, so no, I didn't find it.
Okay. Let's see what else we have here for you. Vampire Weekend has shared a music video for a song called Sunflower, the next single from the New York City band's fourth album, Father of the Bride. It's notable because the video is directed by Oscar-nominated actor and director Jonah Hill and features cameo appearances from Jerry Seinfeld and Big Apple hip-hop OG Fab Five Freddy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Father of the Bride is due out on May 3rd. Ozzy Osbourne's son Jack and wife Sharon offered an update on the singer's health during an interview late last week. The pair said that Ozzy is back to his normal and complaining self more than a month after he was hospitalized because of flu complications. Asked how Ozzy is feeling. Almost 5 weeks after he was in... He admitted to the intensive care ward of Keck Hospital at the University of Southern California. Jack said, well, if this gauges well, he's at where he's at. He's complaining a lot and he's back to his normal routine. So everything's A-OK there. Sharon said that's always a good sign when he complains and he's miserable. Then, you know, it's good.
It's very good, actually. I feel quite nice. I want everybody to come. I feel really good. It's so good to see everybody. Thanks so much for coming. I'm really glad to see everyone today. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ozzy does not have any other gigs booked until May 24th.
Go ahead.
It was on the album Under the Covers by Matthew Sweet and Susanna Hoffs, Volume 1.
There you go.
A whole bunch of Beatles covers.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, and then one last story. Are AC/DC and Aerosmith now available to play weddings? Possibly. One of those two bands is expected to perform at the wedding of soccer star Sergio Ramos and model Pilar Rubio June 15th in Seville, Spain.
They had booked Shorty Long, but that fell through.
The Real Madrid defender and his girlfriend are believed to have been negotiating with both legendary rock bands over the past few months.
How much would that cost?
With Aerosmith now reported to be the most likely to play the reception, a highly private event which will take place on his farm, by the way. I would imagine a few $100,000.
You would imagine, right?
You know? Aerosmith will seem to be in a better position to perform, given that AC/DC's lineup has been in flux for the last couple of years.
So they'll just play. They won't do the whole bringing in the bride and everything.
Every now and then, these big-name entertainers will, under the radar, play private for, you know, filthy rich, tons of money people.
Yes.
They'll go and play a private show for them. I know that, Jimmy Buffett does it from time to time, and...
It's easy money, and they're asked to play like an hour.
It's not a full, gigantic, long set. Yeah, exactly. All right, and that's it. So I got music news for you. Let's take another break. We'll come back in a second, get ready to wrap this thing up. And letter of the day, word of the week prize, of course, comes along. We'll get you closer because we're going to get that away tomorrow while we're in Clearwater. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
93.3 WMMR presents a killer co-headlining summer concert with rock trailblazers... Alice Cooper. And Hailstorm. Friday, August 16th at BB&T Pavilion with Motionless in White. Pre-sale happening today at WMMR.com while supplies last. Tickets on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. Ticketmaster.com. Win free tickets all this week with Jackson. Alice Cooper and Hailstorm, August 16th at BB&T Pavilion. Presented by 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Shine down. 93.3 WMMR, and the song is Monsters. Yeah, and of course, MM Barbecue. Saturday, May 18th, man, you're really going to get a flavor for it. Today and tomorrow, we'll have temperatures in those mid-60s. Imagine it being a little bit bumped up from that, mid-70s maybe, sitting outside, live music on the lawn, on the pavilion, wherever you may be.
Yeah, you can, as they say, you can taste it now. It's within reach.
Yep. Joan Jett and the Blackhearts on board as well with the Struts, Evanescence, Fozzy, Bad Wolves, Glorious Sons, Jackson's Local Shots, Artist, Sarabo.
Disco Bush by the Pool?
Hopefully they'll be performing at some point. That's Kathy in Florida this weekend. So, get those tickets, WMMR.com. All the details there. We'd hate for you to miss out on that one. Let's see, some thank yous. Normally what we do at the end of the show, so I'm going to do that. Thank you to comedian Mo Mandel.
Yeah.
Mo, very nice guy. Lots of energy. He will be at Punchline Philly tonight, Friday, and Saturday, and you can get those tickets at punchlinephilly.com. Thank you to Christina Hendricks.
Yes.
Good Girls, Season 2, Sundays at 10 p.m. on NBC 10 is where you can catch that. And also, thank you to ladies of the Tilted Kilt.
They're awesome.
Who were here today, and I'll thank them by name because we had Amanda, Kendall, Samantha, or should say Sam and Julia, and Amanda and Kendall are from our Totally Office calendar. And so was Shay, who was here. And we have the picture of her. Shay is modeling the new Boys in Blue Philly shirt that we have in a flash sale, which means it's a limited time sale through the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. And it's obviously to go in conjunction with our broadcasting from spring training tomorrow. It's a really cool shirt.
Shay goes from zero to model in a quarter of a second.
Oh, my goodness. And the Tilted Kilt celebration is going on. It's a three-day Hooli.
It is a Hooli.
Starting right. tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday at the Tilt-A-Kilt in Sicklerville. And that will include Kilted Rogues Bagpipers and Academy Irish Dancers. That's on Saturday and Sunday. And, of course, Brent Porsche is going to be broadcasting live on Saturday from 3 to 7 p.m. for a pre-St. Patrick's Day party. So
love it.
Make sure you join him. Let me see here. What do I got to do? Do you want me to give away these as we end?
Yeah.
All four of them?
Yes. Yeah, right. Just in case we don't get to it tomorrow.
Yeah, we're going to be really busy tomorrow. So Club Risque, Alexis, Texas is performing at the Philadelphia location on March 22nd, so a week from tomorrow. And if you'd like to go.
It's going to be a drooly.
We'll take four callers at 215-263-WMMR. And you have to be at least 21 years of age to enter. You can visit clubrisque.com for information on all three of our Club Risque appearances, March 21st to the 23rd. So we'll do that as a parting gift. So call right now. I've had a lot of stuff to hit this morning, so I want to make sure that I don't miss any of it. We had details about a concert announcement. The Black Keys are coming to town.
Yeah.
And that show is going to be at the Wells Fargo Center. And it's not until October. It's going to be October 14th, but tickets go on sale a week from tomorrow. So we're just giving you a heads up on that.
It's going to be a big buzz about it.
10 a.m. via WellsFargoCenterPhilly.com. So just wanted to reiterate that information. Yeah.
Also, Nick, if you could pull that up on the computer screen over there, the flash sale that's going on right now with the Boys in Blue T-shirt.
Yeah, I already hit that.
Oh, you did? Jesus. Yep. Sorry.
That's right. We're trying to gather all of our stuff before we have to leave.
So. Marissa's got a finger up.
Marissa, finger, go.
Well, sorry, you caught me. That one got me. No, I was just going to tell all the listeners out there that all of the stuff we just talked about, the Black Keys, the T-shirt, it's all in the MMR email that just went out, a new newsletter. So if you open up your email and all the links are in there, and if you don't get our emails, you should sign up at WMR.com.
All right, excellent. We need to do the letter of the day. Casey, you going to do that?
Yes, I got it.
All right, here we go.
Preston and Steve. 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
I was stalling with my last breath.
I spit at thee.
And he makes it in. Pierre, the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter.
G is in getting ready to go.
All right. Jot down that G. We have four tickets to the Red Ball, Philadelphia's premier party benefiting the American Red Cross. It's back. At Lincoln Financial Field, Saturday, March 30th, and it features more than 30 restaurants, bars, and microbreweries, live music and dancing, games, a sports-themed silent auction, and much more. All funds raised support the Red Cross House, a center for families who suffered a disaster, and tickets and information at redcross.org/redballphilly. How you doing, man?
Well, I put G is in getting because I got the car pulled around, and I'm going to get you guys to the airport. I thought you were taking us? Yeah. Now, as long as you didn't pack too much, I think all of you can fit in Tommy. And I wanted to show you, though, this new coffee shop I found along the way. I thought if we took Kelly Drive or one of those drives, we could stop and have a little view of the river. And then there's this antique store down on Pine Street that I thought we could all go shopping in on the way to the airport. You got plenty of time.
Yeah, flight's not till 3, so we do.
Then we're napping. We're going to stop for a nap.
We actually could do that, Pierre.
We could go through Rittenhouse Square and rub our feet in the grass.
And get a hotel room for crying out loud.
And get a hotel room and have a full luncheon. I'll be ready whenever you tell me to be ready.
Beautiful.
A couple or an hour or two from now.
Right.
And don't rush. You got plenty of time.
We're all set to go.
As your travel agent.
Solid advice.
Rock on.
What's coming up? What you getting going on today?
I getting going with some workforce blocks of, let's see, we got The Who, and we have got Blink 182. Mark Hoppus has a birthday coming up tomorrow, so we're going to celebrate it today. We got some Stones. We got some Steely Dan tickets to give away, and much, much more.
All righty. Thank you very much, sir. And I want to thank our sponsors, French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville. With everything you need for the great outdoors, FrenchCreekOutfitters.com. Why take a chance with anybody else? Also, City Auto Park. The spring savings at City Auto Park are heating things up, and shop the deals at DodgeChryslerJeepCity.com. Tomorrow, well, we have a lot going on. We're broadcasting live from Clearwater, Florida. Yes, we are doing that for spring training, and we will have on our program for sure Reese Hoskins, Gabe Kapler, Charlie Manuel and Larry Boa, Andrew McCutcheon, and we'll see who else we can have on the air.
Yeah, Gabe Kaplan as well.
Gabe Kaplan.
Yeah, Gabe Mr. Kaplan Cotter. And Gabe Kapler.
Been dead for a while, but we got him.
Yep.
All right, so that is it. Oh, and by the way, thank you to Xfinity sponsoring our broadcast. That's it. We're done. Ray John, have a wonderful day today, and we'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
Basic economy. Non-privileged.
Next message.
Hey, you guys, since you're going down to Clearwater, go over to St. Pete the night before and see Candlebar. It's the best show. We're going down to Fort Lauderdale and see them. I love their shows. Check it out.
Next message.
To the customer service representative who says that they hate when people say, I know it's not your fault, well, stop telling me you're sorry then, because that prompts us to say, I know it's not your fault. Sorry you have to listen to this.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.